And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. This week I made it clear that who the decider is in Washington. It's the President. I am the decision-makinger. I make decisions, and I decidify on all those decisions. Then I take up my mind and conclude to a finalized conclusible. The executive decider in chief must chief until the end executing authoritates. I won't be real clear on that. My staff followizes my orderings. It's vital. As we face anemones abroad, overseasoned, that the presider and the chiefs preview all my optimums, listening to all my voices and wordings, and then confounding to a replete depletion, and then actify on those conflations. Thank you for Kleenexing, and God bless you.
Broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show.
And there it is. Why, hello, and thank you for coming by. Sorry, I got a little bit of a scratch in my throat there.
Why, hello! Merry Christmas, movie house!
Thank you for coming by. It is 2 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of May, the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by and making this part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. My friends, this is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It is Thursday, and welcome to Day 12. If you'd like to be part of today's program, and why wouldn't you? It is 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email us today, it is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. You can also email Tim Riley if you that would make you happy in some way. If you'd like to ask him where, in fact, all that hair did derive from. It is tim@970.am. Apparently that's a recurring question people have. About where, in fact, you did get all that hair. It's Tim at 9... Sorry. Didn't mean to make you feel awkward there. Wasn't that you that told me the story about the guy on the TriMet that wanted to know where you got all that hair?
Oh, that's true, yeah. It is my hair.
Okay, well, never mind. People don't need the email now. Question solved. The riddle has been answered. All right, there. It's 503-73. I'll just stop. 503-733-2970. You can also email. It's rick@rickemerson.com with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you. So, thank you so much. 503-733-2970. Hold on just 1 second here, will I? I had my coffee this morning, but I'm having a supplemental cup because I don't really know. Here's the thing, is when, as much as we make fun of Scotty, they always say that an army travels on its stomach, and we really travel on Scotty, because when he's not here, I don't really trust anybody else to do anything at this point. Scotty is sort of like the food taster the kings used to have. You know, it's hello, your highness, have some Hassenpfeffer. And then they would, like, bring, you know, they'd have some guy. They would have some guy, because some, usually, like, the, you know, the jester guy with the bells on the end of his hat, he'd come in, and he'd have some of the Hassenpfeffer, and then if he fell over and, you know, died of, you know, bleeding out of the eyeballs or something, then the king wouldn't eat it. That's exactly what it is. So Scotty is sort of like, but Scotty is the quality control person of this program. What a horrifying thought that is. So anyway, he comes in before all of us usually, and when I get in, and I know this makes me sound like just a pampered, spoiled bastard. But usually I will come into the studio in the morning, and Scotty has, he's made a thing of coffee, and there's a coffee thing sitting over on top of the refrigerator. But on those days when Scotty is running late and there's no coffee made, it can... Thank you. Scotty's noting it makes me sound like more of a pompous ass. Thanks. Thanks so much. But on those days when Scotty's running late and there's no coffee made, I never know what to do. Like, I don't want to start making it myself because, you know, A, I've got things to do, and B, then if he gets here, then it just throws the whole thing off. So sometimes what I'll do is I will actually have one of... Do other people have these problems, or am I spending way too much time on something that it really is in the grand scheme of things is just unbelievably insignificant?
Way too much time.
I'm just saying it throws off my morning schedule. Because what I'll do is I'll have some of the previously made coffee. Send the screen. You are all alone on this one. All right. I think other people do this, though. I don't think I'm...
Wait, are you griping because Scotty wasn't here to make you your coffee?
Well, only in a round... That's part of it, but it's not really because Scotty wasn't here to make us coffee as such. I'm just saying if you... And I think if anybody works in an office or if anybody works in some sort of communal environment, there is this whole the weird sense of trust about making coffee in the kitchen at your workplace. You know what I mean? It's not just that I need structure. Thank you, Scotty. That is part of it. It is that I need structure. It's just also that, like, if you go into the kitchen of your workplace, I don't care whether you work at the post office, you work at a law office, you work at a trucking company, whatever. You walk into the kitchen, the office, the break room, the whatever you have, and there's coffee sitting there. When you pour yourself a cup of coffee, especially if, like me, you are caffeine dependent, your entire morning structure revolves around that first cup of coffee, perhaps another one in the afternoon, you are entrusting that the person who made that coffee didn't screw you in some fashion. How do you know that's real coffee? How do you know it's not decaf? How do you know it's not double strength or, in fact, half strength? How do you know that person wasn't dangling some sensitive section of their anatomy in the coffee before they put it back there on the shelf? You don't know. These are all things that are just a subject of trust. It's all it is. It's a matter of good faith between you and all the people you work with. And I don't trust any of the people I work with except for the three people on the show. I don't trust anybody else in this building to do anything. So when I come in, if there's coffee previously made, the whole thing kind of throws me off a little bit. And so because I am superstitious, I will have a cup of the previously made coffee, and then I will have a supplemental cup later on of the coffee that Scotty has made. As just sort of a mojo. It's just to get rid of any bad coffee juju that may be lurking within my system. I really do sound like I'm stoned today. I'm just taking a lot of time talking about something that nobody gives a good goddamn about.
I need some coffee right now. I haven't had any yet.
So I'm saying you make sure you have the Scotty coffee. Because you don't know what's in that other coffee. It could have been made by maniacs. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Let me just tell you this final coffee observation. Then we'll do introductions, and we'll talk about what's coming up in today's program. During the break, right here at the top, and Tim and I were talking about being unemployed in radio because that happens quite frequently. And we were talking about Dennis Miller, who I believe comes out of Santa Barbara. I'm pretty sure that his show, I know he lives in Santa Barbara. I'm not entirely sure that's where he broadcasts from, but I'm pretty sure that it is. I think there's like an empty studio there. And he goes to some radio station in Santa Barbara and he does an uplink. And Tim was noting that he had many, 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 many summers as an unemployed DJ living in Santa Barbara, laying by the beach, hearing his own voice come over the radio in commercials that he had previously recorded, even though he was now unemployed. Which is a thing that I don't think that's ever happened to me. I don't think I've ever been unemployed but turned on the radio and still heard my voice playing anywhere. I think that's maybe just a you thing. Was that when you were in Santa Barbara, you said?
I was just fired from comedy radio, America's only comedy station.
Yes. And I can just picture you driving around in a Ford Escort.
Back then, I'm trying to think, I had the 1970-something Toyota Celica with a broken window on the driver's side that had to be pushed up with a broom handle.
Turning on the radio and hearing your own voice for like a refrigerator store. Fantastic. Anyway, so around that same time, I was unemployed in San Diego. And then I stopped being unemployed when I started working at a 7-Eleven. And I used to sit there, sort of Kevin Smith style, and I would just be so angry about working at the 7-Eleven. I would just sit there, and I would just build myself into this white-hot rage, sitting there behind the counter at the 7-Eleven, just waiting on winos and derelicts because there was a drug rehab place right down the street. And so I would get nothing but these meth heads and smack users who would come in trying to steal 500 packets of sugar, which they would smuggle out inside their pants every night. And I would just sit there and I would just take out my frustrations on the customers in all kinds of tiny ways. Like I would just take the pot that was labeled decaf and I would make it like triple strength regular coffee. I probably killed people doing that. I mean, I think about it now, and I think there's people who were told by their doctor that they're not allowed to have caffeine because it'll give them like a cardiac arrest or a pulmonary embolism or something. I probably caused those. Is this decaf? Yeah, sure. Pour yourself a bit. Make it a double. Anyway, so that's where my coffee distrust comes from. I'm going to quit talking about this.
Oh, it only took 11 minutes.
Shut up. quit talking about this now. It's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up on today's exciting installment of the Rick Emerson Show. It's not just coffee talk today, kids. We're going to be talking to a CNN radio correspondent, Lisa Goddard, about the gutless, spineless, jellyfish-like Democrats who back down again. Because it's really the Democrats are like a car. They really only have two gears. They have neutral and they have reverse. That's it. I thought for a minute that they might actually be able to move forward on something. That is not the case. So the Democrats have... I would say they disappointed us, except I never really expect anything out of them anyway. So they've just sort of confirmed what we all sadly knew to be the truth. What else? South Carolina radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, who I swear to God, this is what it says. He's talking about puppies in prison. I don't really even know what that means, but apparently it's exciting. It was so exciting that Laura Caviezel from CNN herself proactively called us today to ask if we wanted to talk to Ed McCarthy about puppies in prison. And we answer with a resounding, hell yes, we do. What else? Today's Top 5, we'll get to that. I got all these emails coming in. I didn't watch Lost last night. Let's be very clear about this. I didn't watch Lost last night, nor last week, nor last month. Nor have I watched since about halfway through the second season. That has not stopped people. The fact that I don't watch, I'm not complaining about this. It's just sort of an oddity of this program. The fact that I don't watch any number of shows doesn't stop people from emailing me every single week about them and asking people who know that I don't watch these shows, and they email me their thoughts and observations and questions about it. I get email about Lost. I get email about Heroes. I get email about whatever. I get email about the Battlestar Galactica, all programs I don't watch. It's almost like I don't need to watch them now because I've been kept so up to speed by people in the audience. What else do we have? We'll touch a cross-country Nate today. We'll have... I know we're a day late and a dollar short on this Rosie O'Donnell, Elizabeth Hasselbeck? Hasselbeck? Whatever. She's the moderately attractive one on The View. And apparently they had some 9-minute... It was sort of like retards hitting each other with manure for 9 minutes, from what I'm told. So we'll get to... Which does sound exciting. So we'll get to that. What else do we have? Well, that's pretty much it. Oh, we'll spin the wheel of topics today. For the first time, I have... Where's my prize wheel sound? Isn't that exciting? You'll get to hear that sound again later. Hold me back! All right. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon Y. Hello, and how are you today?
I don't even know how to communicate with you today.
I don't even know who you are anymore! I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good.
I got a little bit of a scratchy throat, but that's only because I'm sleeping next to the air conditioner the last few days.
Oh.
Because it's been kind of hot, and our bedroom gets... And blah, 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 blah. But our bedroom gets stuffier and hotter than the rest of the house, which is fine in the wintertime. You don't have to heat it, because the bedroom is always, like, 15 degrees warmer than... I think our bedroom is either above, like, an Indian burial ground, or someplace where James Brolin, like hacked up his family. I don't know what it is. The rest of the house can be 65 degrees. Our bedroom is always 80. But then, of course, anytime we get remotely close to summertime, rest of the house, 80, bedroom, 140. So we got the air conditioner going. And so and it's right next to me. It's like 6 inches away from my face. Because I can't sleep unless the air conditioner is... I'm like some high-maintenance girl. I cannot sleep unless the air conditioner is blowing directly at me. Like, it really... And the temperature's low enough to actually cause my skin
on me.
To flake away. Yeah, no.
Yeah, every night.
Totally. I really won't be happy until somebody is standing above me with one of those cans of Instant Freon and just icing me down every night. So the air's real dry that I'm breathing in. And plus, I haven't cleaned the filter on it, so it's blowing a lot of mildew right into my lungs for about 8 hours every night while I sleep. So I'll be back to normal in a day or two. All right. We were going to talk about something, but I don't even know what it was. I'm feeling a little sketchy today. A little wacky. A little kooky.
You're a little kooky. No, I didn't do anything exciting yesterday.
All right. And we're done.
To talk about.
Fantastic.
I'm going to a bar opening tonight, though. I'm kind of excited about it.
You get invited to every bar opening on planet Earth.
Oh, because I know the right PR people.
Are you on some master mailing list for anything?
Yes, I am.
You know what here's what I get invited to. I get invited to parties in Seattle that I can't possibly go to. I'm on the email list of some woman named Laurel, and she works for some media company in Seattle, and I'm constantly getting these emails that say, join us for an exciting media event tonight at 4 p.m., and I get them at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know. They're under the impression that I work in Seattle or something. Although we did get the Body Worlds exhibit at VIP passes. Now, here's the exciting thing. Now, Tim has already... Am I correct in this, Tim, that you do not wish to attend Body Worlds 3 at OMSI?
That would be correct, yeah.
You don't want to see the man sitting on an exploded horse or whatever the hell it is?
No, I pass on.
All right. So I was talking to Susan Reynolds about this, and I do believe we are going to endeavor to bring along a listener to that event. I can't say anything more about it yet because the details haven't really been worked out. Plus, I think, I hope I can say this. Well, I'm going to say it anyway. If it's wrong, I'll just look like an ass. I think we're going to have... some tickets to Body World 3, and I'm saying this very carefully because I'm trying to... I don't remember the specifics of the conversation I had with her yesterday, but we're going to be doing kind of an exciting, kind of a cool thing for Body World 3 at OMSI. And don't call now. Yes, Scotty's saying, don't call now. We're not giving anything away now. But we are going to be doing kind of a cool giveaway for that Body World 3 thing at OMSI. So be listening for details on that. All right. At the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, another car is torched in Portland and three suspects are under arrest.
Well done.
We'll recap American Idol. A man tries to smuggle 700 snakes on the plane. We'll tell you how to keep kids from drowning over the holiday weekend. And gutless Democrats continue to forget what they were elected for as they continue to back down to the president on just about everything.
Well done. Thank you, Democrats. Thank you so much. All right. Well, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Sarah, is there anything you want to share with the people today? Anything you want to get out of the way? I'm giving you a free shot right here.
What did I do?
Giving you a free, unguarded shot. My chin jutting out. Just say it. Say it. We can be done with it.
Well, as I was riding up this morning on my bicycle, I have to kind of go through the parking lot to see, you know, all the cars and whatnot.
Thanks so much. Uh-huh.
I think I saw a Rick Emerson mobile in the parking lot.
Yes, you did.
Does that make 2 days this week that have not ridden your bike?
In my own defense here.
There is no defense. It's beautiful outside.
In my own defense, it's not two consecutive days. I did bicycle yesterday. So I managed to put a sort of wedge of one day's health between 2 days of stealing money from retarded children. So, no, I did not. It was a bad morning. I got to get a new ringtone. I got to get a new, because my cell phone is my alarm clock. My voice is my passport. Verify me. My cell phone is my alarm clock. And I don't.
Did you just make a sneakers reference?
I did.
Air high five.
Bam.
That's awesome.
Remind me to make you an honorary blind person. My cell phone doubles as my alarm clock, and I used to have this ring that was really loud and obnoxious, and it was just terrible. And so I thought, well, you know, I want an alarm that sort of gently rocks me awake in the morning. It's something that aurally reaches over and just sort of gently soothes me awake. And that doesn't really work. What happens is it just gently soothes me into a deeper sleep, and then I wake up at like 9:30, which would happen this morning. So I woke up an hour and a half late. Today. I didn't just oversleep by like 5, 10, 12 minutes. I overslept by 90 minutes today. And I woke up, and you know what? As soon as I woke up and I looked at my watch and I was just like, F it. I didn't lie. It would be disingenuous of me to say that I prevaricated or that I sat there and wobbled back and forth in my head about whether or not I was going to be bicycling. I woke up and I looked and it said 9:25 on my watch and I was like, screw this. I am driving to work and children will suffer and that's just going to have to be okay.
So not only did you not ride your bike, you're making an excuse for being lazy.
I'm not making an excuse. I'm just giving you, it's not an excuse so much as it is actually a reason. I mean, I just...
That you overslept.
Yes, I overslept, and what are you going to do? What do you want from my life? I had no time to bicycle. I did not bicycle.
I just don't really see that as a valid excuse, like, if you happen to oversleep and get a little too extra sleep.
What do you want from my life?
It's a win-win lazy situation for you. Like, you get extra sleep, and then not only that, you get to drive to work.
Yes, and the best part is I get to be ridiculed by nitwits all day long about how I hate children. Did I tell you Court from Court and Fat Boy's comment? The thing he I think I mentioned this yesterday. He's, why didn't you just hold them down and inject them with polio, Rick Emerson? That'll be next. All right, it's 503-733-2970. That's okay. I'm not the only one who's disappointed somebody today.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to that, squad!
Please up, Scotty.
End of message.
Welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show. Scotty J, our intrepid PA here on this Thursday. Why, hello, Scotty.
Good morning, Rick.
I should know, by the way, that Scotty, who typically gets here before 10 o'clock, Scotty did not get here until 10:45 this morning.
That's because you rolled out of the rack at 9:25.
Don't blame it on me.
And I actually got out at 9:33. I looked over at my clock and it said 9:33. I'm like, this isn't real.
Was it a late night? Was it a late night at the J household?
No, actually. I've been very busy since last Saturday, every single evening, every single day, building this huge patio structure over this guy's deck in his backyard.
Why?
And we're doing it till it gets dark outside, so it's like 9, 9:30 by the time we're
done. Is this at your house or is this somewhere else?
A buddy of mine's house.
A buddy. That's a thing that only guys in the suburbs say. Mm-hmm. Guys in the suburbs refer to their friends as buddies. That's totally a white suburban man thing to say. And so you're building a what? You're building a patio or a
it's
thing?
It's a huge patio on...
You and your friend Jim?
Cover.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And so you... So
my body aches and my every muscle hurts from, you know, holding rafters up and whatnot, and by the time I wake up in the morning, I can't even get up. I just feel like a 60-year-old cripple.
Do you need a rub down?
No.
We could probably get somebody in here to give you a hot oil massage.
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Last chance. I'm offering it now. Okay. So would you like to share with the people how you've let us down today, Scotty?
I did not bring the CD from our killer.
The CD that you mentioned yesterday of you and a band 20 years ago singing lead on You Give Love a Bad Name.
Right.
Why did you not bring this today, Scotty? Did you not agree?
And I'm not so sure that's the best song on the album.
Please tell me that there's on this CD there's a Scotty J original. Are they all covers or is there any
they're
originals?
All covers.
All right. What else is on the CD?
Let me put it this way. This band said,
what was the name of your band?
Oh.
Don't act like you don't know. Guys always know.
Remember.
Don't act like you don't remember the name of your band.
It's from a Rush.
Tell me you were called Temples of Syrinx.
No.
Tell me you were called Bitor the Snow Dog.
I don't know why I can't. I'll think of it as the day goes on.
You know.
Talking about 20 years ago, and I haven't even really thought about it.
Don't be an ass.
You think about it every day.
I remember the name of bands that I was in when I was 16.
Here's the thing about this band. It's like, all right, we're going to go play bars out there in the Portland area. We're going to really do this good. So
my first band, Scotty? Here's an embarrassing revelation. I was 16 years old. My first band was called The Meatballs. All right, so I mean, let's not act as though men don't remember these things. What was the band's name?
I'll think of it. I will. Honestly, I'm drawing a blank, and it sounds crazy, but
how long were you in this band?
That's the thing. Is how do you remember a name when? Okay, we're gonna go play all the bars in Portland, and so we practiced for 3 weeks, and hey, it's gonna be New Year's in a week, so there's your fourth week, and we throw a New Year's Eve party, and you know, lose the voice and all that. We're done. The band's over.
How many? You played one show.
We played one party.
Where were the other guys in the band from?
Oh, like my brother, one of his friends, one of my friends, and another guy that I knew since childhood who's been playing the drums literally now for 30 years. And he was actually good.
So you played this one show. Where was it at?
It was like at my brother's house. He had a huge place back in the 80s.
Played a house party.
Yeah.
That's so fantastic. Did your band have a name?
So we were literally the house band.
Did your band have a name?
It does have a name, and I'll think of it. I know I'll think of it probably in a
couple
hours.
What were the other songs on the set list besides You Give Love a Bad Name?
We did Poison Talk Dirty to Me. We did Honeymoon Sweet, I Got a New Girl Now.
Did you sing lead on all of these songs?
Yes, except for one Def Leppard song. I was kind of a backup.
Okay, you have to bring this. Why did you not bring it today?
It's literally, I have all my CDs, cases, and everything. Everything's in files now for the DJ business. So I haven't used them for so long because I use the computer now.
Tell me that's with your regular DJ song.
Yeah,
in case somebody requests something by your band. Do you have something by the Scotty J Experience, please? My girl and I want to dance. Can you play something from the Scotty J Project?
I'm working on a project. I think I will call it the Alan Parsons Project. That's from a movie.
Uh-huh. All right. So are you going to bring that tomorrow?
Yes.
Without fail?
Right. Now, think of the name like an hour. I know it'll come to me.
Don't disappoint the people a second time.
Okay.
All right. Now, you know this means that you're going to have to sing on something on the show at some point in the future. We're going to make you sing someday. We're going to find a reason.
Well,
are you a good singer?
I think I'm better now than I was then. Here's the problem. We cut this CD.
Yeah, what is the problem?
We cut this CD, and it's not even good quality.
No.
The day after the party. So my voice was literally thrashed.
Where did you cut
screaming.
Where did you cut the CD at?
It's like we redid the whole set the next morning, day after New Year's, all hung.
Where did you record the CD at?
It's just a, like, you know, basically a recorder in a room, you know?
You were just sitting
horrible.
In a room, and you had like you had a Radio Shack tape deck on the floor.
And we had to recreate what we did the night before, which was awesome, and the second day we're like,
I'm sure it was awesome. A badass. All right. A performance lost to the sands of time, sadly. All right. Thank you, Scotty. All right. We find that tomorrow. All right. 503-733-2970. There's Scotty J. See, I am not alone in letting down the people. I'm not the only one. Let's see. Here we go. I will gladly give Scotty a hot oil massage. Just say the word. All right. Rick, did you and Scotty J get out of the same bed the way he told the story? You shared the same bed last night and got up at different times. Just curious. All right. What else do we have? All right. We probably don't have time to take these calls. We'll take a break. We come back. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. I still haven't talked about this. I haven't talked about this thing that we might be doing in July. What else do we have? Lisa Goddard coming up, Tim Riley at the top of the hour, and so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. The Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Seeing the radio correspondent Ed McCarthy coming up here in just a few. Lisa Goddard, top five today. Tim Riley coming up at the top of the hour and so forth. Real quickly, let's get... hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello there.
Hey, Rick, I just got a real quick question for you. You said you woke up late this morning.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just like about a, not even a week ago that you were saying that it takes you 20 minutes to bike to work and you have half an hour to drive to work. So that if you were late, wouldn't it have been more efficient to have biked? Hello.
I don't know that I can. I'll be fair. No, to be fair, because I already got some other ass emailing me about that, saying, weren't you saying that it was a faster if you bicycled? That is typically true. However, I'm trying to talk, but I've got this, like ginger candy thing, like stuffed back in my mouth because my throat's a little less scrapy today. So I just, and of course, the upshot is it creates.
You're digging for an excuse, aren't you?
No, I'm just saying it creates all this excess saliva, and I'm trying not to spit all over the microphone when I talk. The thing is, that is true. Bicycling is faster than driving, but that's only true during rush hour. And rush hour from southeast to downtown Portland starts around 7:30 in the morning, goes till around 9 o'clock. Dude, I didn't even wake up until 9:30. So by the time I woke up, rush hour, long over. Rush hour over, long time. So that would, if I was actually leaving my house at the time that my lazy ass was supposed to have left the house, that would have been true. By the time I left the house, though, it was like 9:35, 9:40, something like that. No cars on the road. You know why? Everybody else already at work. Everybody but me, Rick Emerson.
Well, so, I'm sure it's okay and that the retarded, you know, won't miss that, you know, $18 or whatever that number is today.
No, I'm sorry. No, I can't. We're losing your call, sir. Thank you. Thanks.
Smoother.
Thanks so much. Real quick, we'll get Ed McCarthy here in just a second. Real quickly, we've got this. This is from, let's see. Let's go ahead and...
Who's it from?
Let's see. Let's find out. Oh, we've got an old friend of the Rick Emerson Show who wants to weigh in.
Hello, Rick, Sarah, Tim, and Scotty. This is the I Barely Knew Her voice writing from New York City. Rick, I was so happy to hear that you've begun to bike for God's special children. But you already missed a day.
Two.
Was it worth it? Does the radio in your car drown out the cries of the retarded? Can you drive fast enough to outrun your conscience? I guess once you become a big shot AM radio host, you can afford to steal from retarded kids, but I hope this does not continue. Please, Rick, if you won't help the retarded, who will? Best show ever. Sincerely, your friend, the I Barely Knew Her voice.
Thanks so much.
That's so sad.
Turning on me.
You're letting everybody down.
Welcome, shut up. Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from our CNN Radio Correspondent Center in Atlanta.
I don't know the background on that, but I'll bet it's interesting.
We don't need to dwell on it right now, Ed. We can just move on. We don't really need to talk about how I've let down any number of people today. Okay.
Ed, let's just say that Rick, when he's not feeling lazy, if he bikes to work, he actually raises $30 for the Special Olympics. But when he's feeling particularly lazy and doesn't do it, he loses $30.
Okay, yeah.
So I failed to bicycle today.
Attorney's stealing from mentally retarded children.
I failed to bike, and I biked to fail. So that is $30 today that I will not be raising for the Special Olympics. So everybody decides that it's their turn to pile on and kick Rick Emerson and the figurative nads, sir. So, that's okay. Feel free to take a shot. Feel free to insult me before the end of the call if you'd like. And just get in line. Let me tell you this. I don't really know why Laura Caviezel used this phrase, but when we talked to her at CNN this morning, I swear to God, she said, "Would you like to talk about puppies in prison?"
Yeah.
So I don't really even know what that's about, but it's got my two favorites, well, you know, things in the world in it. So it's got prison and it's got dogs. So what, I don't understand, what, please to be explaining puppies in prison, sir.
This is pretty interesting. It's a story that I did, and it's going to be heading into circulation here soon, but it's about women in prison. Now, this is a maximum security prison in Atlanta, and they're turning out the puppies that are used as the guide dogs for the blind. They actually do the training. And they have the dogs all day long from early morning till late at night. And then a family will get the dog on the weekend so they can kind of get that dog into the home environment. But these women talk to them, and it's a max prison. So one woman says she's been there for 5 years and she's got 4.5 left. But she's gone through the training and she's done all of this and really likes it. Talked with a couple of the prisoners and they say it really is a special skill. Well, I have to be kind of checked to see if they're up for this and if they have the special talent to do it. Not all of them do, but these women did, and they say now they hope with if they get released from prison in a few years that they can get a job maybe as a vet tech or something like that.
I got to tell you, not to cast aspersions, but the place where I take my dog to get taken care of, there's any number of the women who work there who look as though they have come from like a supermax prison somewhere. It really is true. there's the woman who takes care of my dog right before they take him in to weigh him and give him a rectal temperature check. She looks like she could snap your neck in about 15 different ways, and like she probably has gang tattoos somewhere very sensitive where you can't quite see them. That's all I'm saying.
You know, we had a vet once that was like that as well. I fully understand.
From the ridiculous to just the depressing. We talked yesterday to Steve Kastenbaum about this, but have they now confirmed that this body they found near the Euphrates River? This is one of those. First, it was four missing soldiers, and now it was three. But now, I guess it is two, hopefully, at the most, that they would find alive, because they have confirmed that this is an American soldier whose body they found yesterday, right?
Yeah, I think they're holding off, but it appears all the signals are very clear that they think this is one of the soldiers. So very, very sad indeed.
And there's still no indication, I mean, about who. Because, I mean, to be blunt, right, this could be any number of sects or just groups of rabble-rousers and ne'er-do-wells that drag these guys off. There's really no way to know. Like, no, has anybody come out and said, like, we did it?
No. And that's the problem. You've got so many of these different groups now that, usually they're more than willing to take the credit, but so far they haven't.
Mm. All right. Well, I one likes to hope for the best, but it does seem like it does seem like these other two guys are certainly going to be in a bad way if and when they are found. Is there any reason for why they discovered the body of the first guy? Was it in the same area, or was it in a different area, and why so many days apart? Do they even know?
Yeah, they're checking that out, too, because it was in the Euphrates River. And, obviously, current may have taken the body downstream or whatever, and they're going to, find out the cause of death. So I think they're going to be very, very careful for at least, the families here that, will be notified. So they've got to be cautious on that.
All right, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'm sure we will talk to you at some point in the future. So enjoy your Atlanta afternoon, my friend.
Absolutely. And a lot of wacky things we're working on here since we got back from vacation.
It seems like, I mean, really, no offense, it just seems like your vacation about 9 weeks long. You must
Well, I'm also on this different schedule now, too. So, I'm not in earlier and out and in home. So, it's all changed. So, there was a little bit of flux. And perhaps by the time you get the news of some of the stuff that I'm doing, and we've got somebody else in the morning doing it, you probably don't get the news on it. So,
well, I got to say that we do have every so often now they patch us in with Amanda Moyer, who does seem like a nice girl, but perhaps who does not particularly gel with my unique brand of humor and sensibility. So.
Well, that's an important factor here.
To be honest, I do think that I frighten her ever so slightly. Just my estimation of the situation. I could be way off, though. So. All right, Ed. Enjoy your day.
That's a good note to leave on.
Thank you, sir. There you go. That's Ed McCarthy in Atlanta. All right, there you go. I'll be so glad when this ginger thing is done. Ginger is really the only, and I'm not going to get into a whole thing, but everybody knows that the worst part of, I mean, it's not that I'm sick. Again, I've just got this kind of dry, scratchy throat, but the worst part of having any ailment like that is that every jackhole that you work with comes up to you and has to give you some idiot home remedy that they've got. You know what I mean? You got a sniffly nose. The worst is when you've got a cold and it's a whole lot of, well, let me tell you what you want to do. You want to go home and it's like having the hiccups. And just every moron that wants to come up and share with you something that his grandpappy told him back in the Okefenokee swamp about how to go home and get rid of your hiccups. I have found that ginger is the only thing that works. But then you get, like, stuff in the back of your mouth like I've got some hideous sort of root-like tobacco plug. And then it just sits and creates excess spit in my mouth until it's gone. Which is, I'm sure, what everybody wants to hear.
Yeah.
Who wants to hear the spit?
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. Correspondent and woman of the world, the one, the only, Lisa Goddard. Why, hello there, and how are you on this fine Thursday?
Well, hello. Apparently it's sunny there in Portland.
How did you know that?
I hear it in your sparkling voice.
Thank you. That's preferable to my first instinct, which is to ask you if Scotty has long, awkward, intimate conversations with you before putting you on the air. Let me ask you this. What does your typical conversation with Scotty sound like?
Well, you know, I almost wonder if Scotty's been avoiding me. Lately, I call in and I immediately get put right into your studio. I actually, has anyone talked to Scotty? Do we know that Scotty's... I don't know that Scotty's still around. Oh, no, that's not true. I did talk to him Monday. It was a very brief conversation.
Those brief conversations mean... that means that he's hungover and doesn't really like to hear any sort of sound going into his tympanic membrane because it causes him excruciating pain. That's what that's all about. Sometimes we do have you on what is called auto hold, which means as soon as your phone line rings, it immediately gets picked up, put on hold, and then you hear our voices kind of while you're waiting there. So it does. Scotty, though, occasionally I'll walk in and Scotty is talking to somebody or talking to a listener and really just... It really is like he's just sitting out front of a Cracker Barrel with his feet up on a barrel of nails, whittling a stick, talking about the good old days when they used to go fishing down in the old, the old pond. It's just having these long, drawn-out conversations with people. And you get the feeling they don't really, that it's not really always something they're into. He's just sort of running on at the mouth at them. So I wanted to make sure you weren't being subjected to that.
I enjoy the banter with Scotty. I'd say we get some banter going. I enjoy it.
Okay, fantastic. Just checking. All right, so...
Where do you want to start today? When the Gonzales no confidence vote's going to be, or actually we know when it's not going to be.
Let's do that, and then I'll just work through these stories backward. And I'm kind of, as they say, I'm girding my loins for some of this, because it's some of these stories, they just fill me with agita, you know what I mean? I just look down at the page, and it's like when Sarah started talking about Indiana Jones 4 yesterday. And I just
I can't talk about that either. Although, I try to refrain from judgment, but
Now, why can't you talk about Indiana Jones 4?
I don't know. I just don't even like the idea. Makes me nervous.
See, that's what I'm saying. This is exactly my point. When she brought up Indiana Jones, and you'll have to excuse me if I'm a little all over the map today. It's been a bit of a morning. But when Sarah brought up Indiana Jones 4 yesterday, I just sort of, I don't know, kind of imperceptibly slumped in my chair. And she said, well, what do you think about it? And I said, you know, it's not that I don't care about it as such. It's just that talking about Indiana Jones 4 brings up about 75 different, often conflicting emotions in me, and it just is such a power drain on my internal CPU that I almost don't even want to talk about it. That's kind of my thing.
Well, 3 was good. Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know. I just...
Okay, on the note of we'll move on. So it is with a lot of this stuff today, but real quickly, where are we with this Alberto Gonzalez vote? The only reason I ask is because the conventional wisdom is that if they do a no-confidence vote and they give him the big thumbs down, that he's going to have to pack up his crap and get out.
It's going to be tough for him to stay, but the president could say, forget you guys, I'm still president for however many months at that point, and I'm going to do what I want. And so technically he wouldn't have to go, but it'd be a tremendous amount of pressure on the White House not to fire him. It'd be very difficult. But they've now postponed that vote to the, it'll be basically the next vote or very close to where after the immigration bill is voted on. So maybe the week of June 4th, maybe the week after that.
Why are they postponing it? Because if it goes badly, they feel they're going to lose momentum that they would need for the immigration thing?
I haven't heard that. That's not impossible, but I think that immigration is so tough. And there was a point where they were going to try and attach it, somehow include it with the immigration debate, and it wasn't clear how they were going to do that without putting it in the bill. So it seems like they couldn't figure that out, and they don't want to stop the immigration debate. And I think technically because cloture's been evoked, meaning that they had to move to this immigration bill because of cloture, I don't think that there's it'd be very difficult for them. They'd have to do some parliamentary gymnastics essentially to get to a separate no confidence bill, and I think they can't do it. It's just tougher to do, and they also are buying some time. They think things will get worse rather than better, perhaps for Gonzalez, and maybe they're hoping they can negotiate a resignation before they have to actually pull the trigger on the vote.
Here's the thing about it is that I never even really knew who Alberto Gonzalez was, in the sense, I mean, I guess I knew who he was, but I didn't really think about him, care about him, didn't really give him that much thought. And the longer this gets drawn out, the more it is that I think the average American only now knows about him in a sort of negative sense. I mean, they're really just inflicting one. Yeah, I mean, people have gone from having no perception of him to having an overwhelmingly bad perception of him. Let's also talk, speaking of overwhelmingly bad perceptions, let me just say what I think everybody who's, and not that I spend all my time watching in hearings on C-SPAN or something, but let's just point out that Monica Goodling, that's her name, right? Goodling, am I?
Yes.
She's weird. She's creepy, is what she is. She is completely creepy, and I think not a little evil. She has just...
Really? Now, see, I feel like you come into, first of all, you come into any hearing with anyone in Congress, and you're hoping that you will find evidence of creepy evil.
Well, I mean, am I wrong to do so? I mean,
you have a point there. You do have a point there.
I mean, really, do you believe that I should come in with the idea that our politicians and their underlings are filled with unfettered patriotism and light?
All right, you got me that. You got me on there, on that.
So, well,
what is this evidence of the creepiness, Andy?
Well, isn't she the one that basically, as she was sort of interviewing people, she was trying to winnow out those who had a political position that she felt was unfavorable to her, you know, to her and her bosses and so forth. I mean, wasn't, because they were talking about a lot of people who would apply for jobs or would try to get a job, and they had a quote a Monica problem, not to be confused with Bill Clinton's Monica problem.
In fact, she admitted yesterday, and she's under immunity now, so she can't be prosecuted for her actions on the job. But she did say that, now the political appointments are one thing, the president's appointments, such as U.S. attorneys, those can be, those positions can be filled looking at a person's political history. But civil servant jobs, the vast majority of jobs, is those you are not supposed to look at politics on. And she admitted that for some of those jobs, she did ask people who they voted for, and she did deny people jobs or move them to the bottom of the pile at the elite.
And that's what I'm saying. And that is exactly, I mean, a lot of people work in jobs where that sort of thing is not an issue. But I mean, when you go, I mean, I've been unemployed. We've all been unemployed. And that idea that, you know, it's not like she was interviewing transients who desperately needed something to, like, you know, to put food on the table. But by the same token, everybody's been in that position where you're interviewing for a job with somebody and you're desperately trying not to say the wrong thing. You're desperately trying not to get off the beaten path, not to slip up. All of us have agonized over a single word that we've used in a job interview, and you lay awake at night. You wonder if you just screwed the whole thing up because of that. And then here is this woman who in a job where she admittedly is not allowed to ask such things. He's asking people who they voted for, which is just, I mean, I know I don't want to sound all Mr. Smith goes to Washington about it, but that just seems really, like, in the deepest, truest sense, that's just, it seems like a very bad, un-American thing to do. And, you know, and the fact that she's only admitting to it now when she's immunized and can't be prosecuted for it,
right.
I mean, it just kind of bugs me. And it doesn't help, by the way, and I hate to stereotype, but it doesn't help that she looks like one of those creepy blonde fembots that the Republican Party rolls out on every talk show on television. You know what I mean? They're all just sort of like...
That's what you're thinking of, yes.
No, they all look like sort of third-tier Barbara Olsons or Ann Coulters. And, I mean, she just fits right into that mold. And I don't know if there's a factory somewhere where they make those women.
She does have the Ann Coulson long blonde hair situation. You're right. I do want to remark, for the folks who watched American Idol last night, one of my main conclusions from that from that show last night and the night before, which I admit I watched, and also from the hearing of Monica Goodling yesterday,
yes.
I think long hair for women may have reached its peak. I think maybe we're going too far now. I think that Paula Abdul is carrying it a little far.
Well, Paula Abdul, that hair can't be real, though. Those are extensions.
Right.
Those
right,
have
right,
got to be
extensions. All of these celebrities, it hasn't been real for a long time. But I do. I think I wouldn't be somebody out there in the next few months, maybe 6 months, is going to go short, and it's going to be the same.
Okay, now it's funny you say that. As I can feel myself turning into a woman as we have this conversation. But Sarah this morning showed me this picture of Mina Savari from American Beauty.
Oh, right.
She was the young girl after whom Kevin Spacey lusted.
Right.
And she chopped off all her hair, and I got to tell you, that's a bad, bad look. She wouldn't...
I'm wrong. See, not everyone can do it.
No.
There's not a lot of people that can do it.
I will say this. You really do have to be, to use the dreaded phrase, you really have to be cute as a pixie to make this short hair work.
Right.
Because otherwise, you know.
It's the same with men who shave their head. There are not a lot of men that can do it.
That's what I'm saying. And see, when I had, you know, and I've got, you know, as I said, I had the thinning hair going on, and somebody was like, you got to shave your head. But the thing is, I shave my head, I'm going to look like Matthew Modine in Full Metal Jacket. I'm going to look like I ought to be in a bathroom trying to get a gun from Vincent D'Onofrio. Nobody wants me to look that way.
Right.
I know that we're running real up.
Great moment, because now I need to assert myself here, Rick, and say, Rick, I have a live report at the top of the hour.
All right.
I need to be going.
For anybody who may be listening on this phone call, then I will not ask you a question. I will simply say that it's good to know that in a world of uncertainties and changing, and a world of constant upheaval and prevarication, it's good to know that the Democrats did not disappoint me. They backed down like spineless weasels once again on the Iraq funding bill.
They're saying they'll vote. But, okay, here's the other thing I need to tell you really quick.
All right.
It could be a very late night here. I may be here into the wee hours of the morning. The House is voting on that Iraq spending bill maybe in a 2 or 4 hours from now, and then the Senate may do it in the very wee hours, so.
All right, well.
Who cares about that?
All right, well, I hope you make it through the night. Okay, let us know if you need us to send you a fruit basket or anything.
Okay,
all right, thank you, Lisa.
All right.
There you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. That was a fantastic call. You know what it is? Once I swallowed the ginger. Once I got the ginger out of my mouth so I wasn't talking like this anymore.
You sounded a lot better.
Yeah. No, that ginger, man, I...
Ginger.
I don't want to... thanks, you son.
I barely knew her.
Thank you. I don't want to be one of those guys, because now I am being the guy that goes on and on about some... And, you know, I don't believe in stupid herbal remedies for crap, because herbal remedies, that's just like they're just giving you a big, like a castle full of dirt. But I will say that ginger is far and away, and this is not an issue really for anybody except people who have to use their voice for a living, but ginger is hands down, period, the only thing I've ever used that works in my voice, ever. But the problem is, while you have it in your mouth, you totally get the weird mush mouth going on. But now it's over. That time has passed. Okay, it's 5:03, and we're on time. Look at that, we're on schedule. That's right, bitches. It's 503-733-2970. Break here. Come back after this. The Reverend Tim Riley around the corner with the AM 970 noon news hour. What the hell else are we doing? Later on, we'll do the top five. We'll talk to... I've written down talk to Scotty again. I don't know why I would have written that down. I'll just crash that out right now. All right, there you go. Back after this, Rick Emerson Show. Thank you so much. Hi, how you doing? Hi, it's Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ministry of Truth is your president, your prophet, your seer, your revelator. He is the Reverend Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Another car burst into flames, but the cops have three people in custody. Today's torch car in the quadrant of death happened in northeast of all places.
Oh, in your face, northeast Portland.
Yeah! Now, all the other ones were in the southeast. This time, it was a Honda sedan set ablaze. Our neighbors quickly spotted the fire, and police say they spotted a suspect vehicle as well. They also have three suspects in custody. The car was set on fire yesterday morning at Northeast 35th Avenue and Northeast Schuyler Street. Several of these vehicles included Honda SUVs, prompting some to speculate Why, these might be related to eco-terrorists.
I was
the
just,
eco-terrorists.
I was just going to say, not to be confused with eco-PDX. It's eco...
terrorism.
It's a joke there, but I don't know what it is. But they weren't all SUVs, though. I thought the other ones were like...
Say, what was a Ford SUV? And there were some non-SUV models, just to throw police off. So
it's just some idiots just burning whatever it is they happen to see.
Most of them are Hondas, though.
All right. Well, but these are now... and these are usable cars. In other words, these weren't just like... rusted out hulks that were already just sitting there. These were actual usable, workable cars.
Hondas are usable forever.
That is true. That is
true. How do you kill a Honda? You don't.
No, I think we've learned how, Tim. I think we've discovered the answer to that riddle. All right.
Well, let's talk about American Idol, because most of America is.
Oh, can we please, more than anything?
We chose the winner. Well, not we. I didn't participate. Jordan Sparks is a girl, and she's 17 years old. She's from Arizona. And she beat out fellow Idol wannabe Blake Lewis, who comes from Washington. Sparks reveals what Lewis whispered into her ear backstage last year.
Well, he was just like, I love you, sweetheart. And if I forget the words, will you sing with me? I was like, only if you sing with me if I forget them. So it was great.
I wish you were dead. That's what he whispered.
Well, the worst part of it is all these old guys singing love songs to her on stage, and they didn't realize she's actually jailbait.
I curse you every night. That is true. She's 17.
Yeah.
I didn't thought about that.
The youngest one. Yes.
I despise you. All right, this is...
Scotty J.
Because I know Scotty watched it.
You're not going to amount to death squad!
Please up, Scotty.
End of message.
My sworn enemy. Hi, Scotty J.
Hello.
Did you,
Yes, I did.
Okay, you got to stop that. All right, so you watched American Idol last night.
Yes.
You saw what's her name, Jordan Sparks. I'm sure she's fine. Sure, she's a fine young girl.
Bette Midler sang "Wind Beneath My Wings."
Oh, I heard about it.
She was clapping her hands, and she looked younger than she did at 30.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. I mean, she was an improved Bette Midler.
That's what I call the Smokey Robinson effect.
She's a robo.
Well, Smokey Robinson actually sounded the same singing.
Right. His face is 20 and his body is 80.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, that's.
Scotty, you're funny.
That was funny. Did he sound good, Smokey
Robinson?
Yeah,
he sounded good.
Sure, boy, absolutely.
What a great singer that guy is. He really is, and you're a great singer, great songwriter. Bette Midler.
The Green Days are on last night too.
Green Day, God, that god awful.
When Stephanie was on via satellite,
and well, there was a star-studded event because of what Carrie Underwood was
so
on.
Why wouldn't you watch it? I mean, I don't get
Gladys Knight
because I don't care about any of these artists.
Kelly Clarkson was on there. She kind of looked like she gained a little.
She did.
Okay, then it wasn't just me.
No, but she's a big gal.
No, she wasn't before, though, when she won.
She still looks hot, though. She was never really a stick girl. She was never really rail thin to begin with.
That's something I noticed about her, and it really just hit home with me last night at home.
Does this involve much of my dad's sex with her?
No.
Okay. Oh, boy.
She's like a... Well, this is kind of weird. She's like a screamer when she...
Please to be clarifying.
Every, like, the big notes when she finally gets to the crescendo or whatever the heck, it's just screaming. And I'm like, yeah, it kind of bothers me. All of her songs are, at the high note or at the
Kelly Clarkson.
At the main note, yeah.
All right.
So
I love her.
Anyways, here's the deal.
Yes.
I thought
Scotty could be contained when we brought him in here to give his editorial reply.
I'm upset because this is supposed to be a star-making machine. This was also supposed to be about...
Oh, God.
Most of these other people weren't making stars. Best.
I didn't realize this was Scotty J's corner.
Well, here's the deal. It's not the best singer winning any longer. It's all about the votes. And if you have... You know, hundreds of little kids with access, I guess, to their cell phones and texting.
Well, where are the parents?
You know, Jordan Sparks gets, you know, one kid sends in 100 votes for her. It just becomes a joke. It's not the best singer. You know, honestly, I from the beginning, the top 12, Melinda Doolittle had the best voice, in my opinion. And
no one named Melinda Doolittle can put in.
Exactly.
Hold on, I didn't. I'm sorry, Scotty. I didn't realize this was going to be like a 9-hour monologue. I thought you were just getting a little color here.
Yeah, continue, Scotty.
That's about it. I mean, she got third place, and the fact that Jordan won, I don't believe she is the best singer out of, you know, how many thousands of people tried out for
this
show.
Well, of course she's not the best singer. That's stupid. That's like saying that Al Gore and George Bush were the best presidential candidates who could get 280 million people. I mean, that's
just, there's just stupid. There's a certain amount of luck involved here.
Seriously, it is winning the pools, as Ringo Starr used to say.
The numbers game.
You know, the thing about that Blake guy is at least he's interesting. He's got, like, a good shtick. He's got a gimmick.
Yeah.
She just seems...
He's original.
What I've heard... Well, he's not original, but he's original for that show. Beatboxing isn't like, it's not like he invented it. Yes.
That really? Was, like that's the first time I've ever seen that.
Yeah, like a 23-year-old white man invented beatboxing.
Wow.
But, you know, at least he's not like everybody else in that show. She just seems like another whaler. That's kind of the thing to me. She's just another over-singer.
And I know that they get all choked up and whatnot when they're singing their final song.
Listen to the scorn. Listen to the contempt.
But she couldn't
why
even,
do you watch it then?
She couldn't even keep it together.
Oh. I know. She, you know, she really needed to pull herself together.
Did she cry?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Was it did they show anybody in the audience crying? Did they show people in the
hugging?
They like to show the hand thing in the audience. They hire these hand models to wave their hands back and forth.
Like jazz hands or like they're waving back and forth.
They're perfect hands, yeah, waving back and forth.
What about parents hugging?
Yeah, a lot of
they were doing
too.
That. Yeah. But she couldn't even keep it together, and they actually use this song, this live version. They'll start playing that on the radio.
Right.
Possibly on the Rick Emerson show.
Possibly not.
So she couldn't keep it together. It's not even worth playing it.
Why do you watch American Idol?
Well, you know...
It makes you angry. Clearly, like, disproportionately.
It makes me want to pour a stiff drink.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you may go now.
Thank you.
All right, there you go.
Sorry about that. So this young lady, Jordan Sparks, said she lost her ability to speak after being announced the winner. And apparently she has again.
This is so great, and the soundbite won't play.
He announced my name, and I was just like, okay, what do I do? What's the words of the song? What's going on? He handed me the mic, and I was just like, ugh! But the words came out. I don't know how they did, but they did, and it was so crazy. But I don't know how I held it together. I bawled backstage after I got off stage.
You what?
Bawled?
I lost her hair. Oh, I was thinking something else.
That's a term from the 70s. And it hasn't been used in quite some time. That's a generational.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to work.
You can't get in trouble for that anymore. Well, nobody remembers.
When she went bawling backstage?
Yeah.
Well,
unless you get some 50-year-old, you know.
Well, you know, it is totally a generational thing. As in when they describe how, did you ever realize? I mean, this is. Never mind.
Well, let's talk about some of the other entertainment.
Back
shall we?
Up right now. Yeah. Oh, but what was it that what's his name whispered to it? If it wasn't I hate your guts.
Oh,
you know, what was it? What did he whisper?
I don't know. Let's go back.
Well, he was just like, "I love you, sweetheart."
Oh, that's
and
not
if
what
I forget
he whispered.
The words, will you sing with me? I was like, only if you sing with me if I forget them. So it was great.
All right.
Meet backstage. meanwhile, some of the other entertainment. There was some beatboxing going on with the finalist Blake Lewis, who lost, and rapper Doug E. Fresh. Let's take up the old Victrola and listen to a little bit of this.
Okay.
That's stupid.
I love you, Tim, for saying that.
I don't even know what they were playing.
Apparently, there's some type of entertainment he plays. He beats his box and the raps with some Dougie Fresh guy.
Beats his box and plays a mouth organ.
And some Dougie Fresh. It sounds like somebody out of the produce aisle at Fred Meyer.
Can you play the organ with your mouth, sir?
Why, yes, I can. Oh, that other gray-haired guy played the harmonica last night.
Oh, Taylor Hicks.
Yeah, the guy that I forgot about.
This is the thing that I don't even need to watch American Idol because I can always just read the recap. And then I know Green Day, but Scotty was asking why I didn't watch. It is a star-studded event, but here's the thing. It's studded with stars like a donut being studded with nails. It's just a whole bunch of stars I don't care about. I mean... I love her, but I don't really care that much about Kelly Clarkson. I don't care about Carrie Underwood. I don't care about Taylor Hicks. I don't really care about Bette Midler in the... There are two Bette Midlers. People don't really...
You should see the new improved Bette Midler.
Really? Is she hot? Or does she just look all plasticky?
They didn't do a close-up, but she looks better than she did back in her prime. Whatever that might have been.
Well, you know, and as time has gone on with Bette Midler, her hair has gotten straighter, her skin has gotten smoother, mm-hmm. her waist has gotten narrower... Her breasts have gotten more sort of higher on her body. Like, even back when she was a young woman, they were, because she's a very voluptuously endowed woman. But they're sort of, either there's some like surgery going on, and or the cream of our architectural and engineering intelligence in this country is going into designing Bette Midler's brassieres, because her bosoms are held at a much higher angle than they used to be, and I think her nose has gotten smaller over time too. But I can't be positive.
Well,
about
it's,
that.
It's a Bette Midler for the new millennium.
It is the well, because she's doing the thing at Caesar's Palace.
Yeah.
People don't really know that there are, in the terms of comedy, or in terms of at least style, there really are at least two Bette Midlers, because there's a Bette Midler that sings Wind Beneath My Wings, and that's the
that
one
was, that was a bad one.
That's the bad Bette Midler. And then there's Bette Midler of Bette Midler and the Harlettes, who, you know, rose to prominence in the 70s and, you know, kind of up through, like, Ruthless People, Bette Midler, which is great, who's, you know, really kind of brassy and loud and kind of, you can sort of, like, I've never seen her do it, but you can sort of picture her grabbing her crotch and screaming at you, sort of Roseanne style. But you know, we all gotta, you gots to get paid. So I don't blame her for being on the
show. So she's been put back together and she's good to go. Yeah. Till her next tune up in about 20 years.
Well, should we like Cher? I mean, I'm not gonna make the same old tired observation about Cher, but I mean seriously, we all know that she's like Cher is I think she's sharing whatever stem cells David Bowie has access to. Mm-hmm. Because all of them are just sitting there, they're not aging.
She can get the Tootsie Pop in the eye though. Remember the David Bowie picture?
Is that what she's bawling backstage?
She might be.
She's getting the good old Tootsie Pop in the eye?
Yeah.
I gave her the dirty Tootsie Pop. The donkey pop.
Well, let's move on to further entertainment before we get stuck in this little rut here. I'm sure we all want to hear Sanjaya sing You Really Got Me with Hope from Aerosmith guitarist Joe Perry.
Yeah, boy, that's fantastic. That's wonderful. And by wonderful, I mean...
He'll be soon forgotten.
Well, and what? I don't even understand the point of Joe Perry being there. I mean, he doesn't say anything. I mean, he doesn't say anything. No. I don't think he was... I mean, you can't really hear his... I sound like a...
It could have been a body double.
I sound like a music dork talking now. But, I mean, you can't even really hear his guitar in the mix.
No.
I don't know. I guess maybe Aerosmith has some project. I sort of assume that anybody who's on a show like this has something immediately coming up that they need to pimp. Like Bette Midler's there to pimp her Caesar's Palace thing. Aerosmith must have some new compilation. Green Day has got that new song coming out on that Katrina benefit CD or whatever, which is terrible, by the way. I didn't see their live performance of it, but I heard the studio version of that new Green Day song, which is completely uninteresting in every way. And it's hard to imagine that Green Day could make a song that I don't care about, but they've succeeded. Congratulations. You've taken a song that I've always loved, and you've rendered it completely pointless and sackless. So thanks for that, Green Day.
There was one high point last night.
Mm.
And to think at 81 years old, this guy can still sing.
For once I can say...
Tony Bennett.
This is mine, you can't take it. As long as I know I have the love, I can make it. For once in my life, I have someone who needs me.
And he's the only one up there with all the facelifts.
And you know, he does a lot of shows where he still doesn't use a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Bennett, he doesn't tour like he used to. But Tony Bennett does a lot of shows where he actually will sing, like a place where he's singing in the round. And he actually they don't even wire him. He just sings just pure projection. I mean, he's 81, doesn't sing like he used to. But I will say this, he's still better than probably 80% of the people. And not like I'm a huge Tony Bennett fan, but he's better than 80% of the people probably who have ever been on that show. And... sad as it is to say, he sings better at 81 than Sinatra was.
Sinatra was like an old foghorn.
I mean, and Sinatra, granted, Sinatra was living a hard life.
His biography's on this week, by the way.
On A&E?
Let's see, the National Geographic Channel.
The Frank Sinatra biography?
Yeah, for some ridiculous reason.
National Geographic
Channel? It's on the National Geographic Channel. You have to go find it, but it is there. 2-hour special.
Hey, kiddies, today we're going to take a tour around the world, the various countries where I bagged some hot dames. Here's Nepal. I did a little number in this ring-ding of a town that stayed with me forever.
And you know who comments on his life?
And here's France. What?
His good friend, for some reason.
Jilly Rizzo.
Tim Conway.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Oh, you know why. It's because everybody else is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Conway's the only one left. It's either Tim Conway or Don Rickles. That's it, man.
Rickles is busy this week. He's appearing on radio everywhere.
I'm glad to know that, by the way, he didn't even go in the studio with Howard. He actually, I think he did a phoner with Howard. You said he did an in-studio with NPR, though.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's just, I mean, there are...
And he was talking about the mobsters, and he said he had no problem with them because they were good to his mama.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to say that I missed the era when the mob ran everything because I didn't really miss it, but I mean, it does seem like it was a don't bother them, they don't bother you kind of a thing.
Yeah.
The mafia was sort of like bumblebees, or not bumblebees, but you know, they were like bees, I think. You just didn't screw them, they didn't screw with you. The thing about Sinatra is, with every year, more of those people are dead, so it is kind of like a last. It's like a tontine. It's just with every year, there are fewer people alive to tell stories about the Rat Pack, and so if you still happen to be around, you can jack up your fees exponentially. So that's why Don Rickles is doing that. Tim Conway, that new Alice Cooper book I read adds full of Frank Sinatra anecdotes because he met Sinatra a few times. Because Alice Cooper ran in a whole circle of like Sinatra and Groucho Marx and all those guys. And Sinatra at the Hollywood Bowl, I didn't know, performed an Alice Cooper song.
That's incredible.
When Sinatra played the Hollywood Bowl in like 79, he sang You and Me, which is a song, an Alice Cooper song off the Lace and Whiskey album, which I would give anything to have a recording of. If anybody out there, because it's not on my Frank Sinatra discography, but if anybody out there ever comes across a copy of Frank Sinatra singing the Alice Cooper song, You and Me, I would love to have that. Ever having met Sinatra, like just once, like if you ever just stood on the same stage as that guy, you can milk that into a whole book. Like his George, who is his sort of personal assistant, that guy wrote a book a few years ago, and he was being, you know, his job was basically, he was the guy who like ironed his pants or whatever, and he wrote this whole book, Me and Mr. S, and it was all about like doing Frank Sinatra's laundry or something. Let's see. I'm not even going to read all the Tootsie Pop emails I'm getting. We're just going to move on. So,
Paula Abdul is pleased with last night's results.
I'm happy with the results because, look, Jordan's going to go on to sell lots of records. I think Blake's going to get matched up and he'll find a lot of records. Anyway, he'll find a record deal and he'll be out there performing, doing what he likes.
She's intoxicated.
She is intoxicated, has a broken nose, and apparently...
a wounded chihuahua.
And she has no voice to speak of.
No.
It does make you wonder exactly, even with 80s technology, how much they had to do to her voice to make her a singer, because I've never heard Paula Abdul, and it's, by the way, isn't it very telling? Have they ever, Scotty, please don't come in here, but just answer this on the screen. Just type me the answer. Stay away. Have they ever had Paula Abdul sing on the show? Has Paula Abdul ever, no, see, there you go.
Uh-huh.
It's very telling, right? Because Simon Cowell's not a singer. What's his name? Not J.J. Jackson. Randy Jackson. He's not a singer. But Paula Abdul is theoretically a singer. I mean, I know she was a cheerleader and maybe. Is she a choreographer?
Yeah, she was at one time.
She was a choreographer. And she's a singer. It's very telling. They have never, in however many seasons it's been, 5, 6, 7, they've never had Paula Abdul sing on that program. That kind of tells you everything you need to know. Rick, this email says, Bette Midler is a product of billions of taxpayer dollars and thousands of hours of research at the Los Alamos National Laboratory. Bette Midler, I do find her sexy in such a weird way, because she's, it's not like she's an ugly woman, but she's not conventionally beautiful. You know, Bette Midler is a woman who could never become famous now. She would never become famous now, because she's way too big, way too crude.
She's not that big anymore.
But, I mean, she was.
They shrunk her down in... You know, it's almost like she was made out of silly putty.
I think at a certain point, though, she realized she had to do that to stay famous.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way, like, I don't think Bette Midler of, like, 1979 could become famous now. Because she's just too, I mean, she's a very big woman in her day. And was just too obnoxious and too, like, even, you know, you even take, like, Sarah Silverman types, who, whatever anybody thinks about her, I mean, you know, she has achieved some level of success. But, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the part of the reason is because Sarah Silverman's kind of attractive. And it's very hard for a woman who just sort of looks like a big brick wall, which is what Bette Midler did. It's very hard for women like that to make it in the entertainment industry, you know, now. And so, you know, I think she knows that she had to get some work done to sort of stay in the game, as it were.
Randy Jackson agrees that Jordan was the right choice.
Yeah, I think America got it right again. You know, we go through all the hijinks and the ups and downs during the season, but I think America definitely got it right again. I think America's gotten it right every season.
Whatever. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So let's move along to other things, shall we?
Can we?
Yes, tempers boiled over it on yesterday's edition of The View. Okay. Usual suspect Rosie O'Donnell hit on Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Well, I should say, a lid on her. She didn't hit on her.
Now, do you have the sound here?
I don't have the sound, but I do have some...
I have the sound.
Well, let's listen to it. I saw it last night on Larry King.
Now, I have not seen this. Now, hold on. We'll have to let this cue for a second. Because I've failed to cue, and I've cued to fail.
Well, the interesting part about this whole thing is Barbara Walters has become a stranger on her own show. She's kind of standing at the table, and she's in the shadow somewhere, but she really doesn't do anything anymore.
Now, was Rosie on today?
I'm not sure if she was or not.
Because she said, I think she made some statement yesterday, some public statement, I will not be on, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I will not be on The View on Thursday, and I don't think she was. I thought she was leaving.
She's leaving in June. She's leaving shortly, by the end of June.
All right, so at some point. I think Barbara Walters, you know, she's nobody's idea of a dope. I think Barbara Walters must know that Rosie O'Donnell is just her ticket to ratings and to increased viewership for this program. Hmm. And so I think Barbara Walters is trying to split the babies, they say, where she's letting Rosie go out there and be this attention magnet. But at the same time, she's stepping back so that she herself does not get the mud splash on her. So as later she can say, well, I didn't tell Rosie what to say, and Rosie said whatever she thought, which is one of the reasons that people like Rosie is she is a polarizing figure, blah, blah, blah. So she's letting Rosie get the publicity, but without her, Barbara Walters having to get tagged with it. All right, so this is the subject line of this is Cat Fight on The View, Rosie versus Elizabeth Hasselbeck, I guess her
Hasselbeck.
Name is. What did Elizabeth Hasselbeck do before she was on The View? Who is she?
I don't know. She's some blonde chick.
Is she a conservative? Do we know?
She's a conservative Republican.
That's hard. Let me understand this. She's a blonde woman on television, and you're telling me she's a conservative Republican?
Yes.
That's crazy.
I know.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, so Gore and Behar, you have some things to say.
Well, watching Al Gore on...
Who watches
She sounds like a female frog.
Who watches this program? Oh, is this Elizabeth Hasselbeck over here?
All right, she was on Survivor.
Really? Is that where she...
That's where they found her. She started as a footwear designer and came to public attention after she placed fourth in the television program Survivor, the Australian Outback.
Okay. All right, this has got to be her. I know that you all can't see this at home, but they showed Joy Behar, who looks like a big sunflower.
Oh, you don't know what she looks like?
No.
She's a cute little stick blonde lady.
That's got to be her right here. I mean, she really is. I don't know how much of this is television magic, but I mean, she is very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very beautiful.
Beautiful.
Make me beautiful music. So here's Joy Behar squawking like a pelican. And then at some point we'll get Elizabeth Hasselbeck. I'm curious to see what sort of, quote, thoughts, end quote, come out of a woman who looks like this. We'll see.
Larry King last night. And, you know, he has a new book out, Al Gore, where he basically really says that Bush was the worst president that we've ever had in the history.
Just a quick observation. Joy Behar looks like who you would cast to play Bette Midler in the movie of Bette Midler's life. Oh. She looks a lot like Bette Midler. I never really noticed that before. And everybody in this program wears the lowest cut shirts I have ever... And they're all like 60 years old, except for Elizabeth Hasselbeck. But they've all... Even Rosie O'Donnell is showing cleavage. And I honestly don't know how to feel about that. I honestly don't know. I don't know whether I like it or not.
And she looks like a big salami.
I do... I do. I mean, I tend to believe that any cleavage is good cleavage, but I just don't know.
In this country, and I noticed that Jimmy Carter, a former president, is saying the same thing. So now, if the former president Jimmy Carter is saying it, a former vice president of the United States is saying it, and I have a list here of the things that Bush has done, I don't really understand why he's still there. Does anyone have any idea why we can't get rid of this guy who stole the election in 2000, killed a surplus with tax? Wait a minute. Wanted to privatize Social Security. Let me get through the list.
It's very long, so we might be here for a while.
I let you talk.
You know what Elizabeth Hasselbeck looks like, and this won't mean anything to anybody except for like there's like three people. She looks like Sarah's friend Delaine if you locked her in a cage and didn't feed her for like a year. That's kind of what she looks like.
Today, now I'm talking. And I love her, but let me do this. He withdrew us from the Kyoto Treaty. John Ashcroft.
The Kyoto Trio. They're going to be playing with the Dave Clark Five.
And read, freak out the kids when
and read my pet goat for 7 minutes after we were attacked. And
okay, I'm going to skip ahead to the... I don't care what Joy Behar thinks.
Nobody cares what she thinks.
No, it's true. I'm going to... Okay. See if I can find the cat fight going
on. I'll watch him tonight. It's on my TV. I'm sorry.
So it's Rosie O'Donnell, Joy Behar, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, and then whoever this other woman is. There's some fourth woman. I just don't follow.
Barbara Walters is sitting up in a corner somewhere.
Unless Barbara Walters is a large black woman, I believe you may be wrong about that.
Oh.
Does this look like Barbara Walters to you?
It doesn't. Who is that?
It's
nothing that matters.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't. It's the. I don't think she hasn't said anything so far, so I'm not sure that it's germane.
I wanted to see Layla and Apollo, but I do.
I honestly don't know whether I'm going to be able to make it long enough for this to listen to the campaign.
We're in a situation now where technology helps us.
We need to be furious. This country needs to be furious with what's going on.
Here's your opportunity, okay? We're a democratic society. You have the election.
Yeah, this is Elizabeth
Hasselbeck. You
know how to do it. You know what this guy can do in a year and a half? He can invade Iran for all we know.
With Congress
now and stuff like that. Congress cannot pass anything because he vetoes it and they can't override it.
For the love of God.
All I hear is just a bunch of squawking. I can't even, like, tell one from the other.
This is like trying to get the toy in the bottom of a box of cereal, but the cereal's made out of dung.
Here
we go. How telling is it that these women are so irritating that when Rosie O'Donnell speaks, it's actually sort of relieving, you know?
It's a trailer from Happy Feet.
Rosie, big, fat, lesbian, loud Rosie, attacks innocent, pure Christian Elizabeth.
And I'm not kidding. Let me do it.
Oh, wait. I got to hear the background on that phrase.
But where do you want to go, Bubs? We're going to...
Political discussion. Don't interview each other. Just say what
you're playing a game, okay? If you're playing a game, and I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to throw to my wide receiver, wide right, okay? Do you do that?
Is he a wide receiver, do you suppose?
What does that do for your enemy?
Well, you know what, Elizabeth? If the enemy are innocent civilians, I don't want to play that kind of football.
The enemy is not innocent civilians.
Here's how it gets fun in the media. Rosie, big, fat, lesbian, loud Rosie, attacks innocent, pure Christian Elizabeth. And I'm not doing it.
But you're not doing it. Let me do it. I haven't heard that line.
You should watch some of the shows that, you know, you don't watch.
I watched all of them. You accused me of watching all of those shows yesterday.
I'm okay arguing with...
Seriously. This is like being...
It sounds like a fight in a hen house.
I was going to say that exactly. This really is like being locked in a flamingo cage. There are no words for how irritating this is. I mean...
Maybe if you're watching it, it's not as bad. Most people are watching this on YouTube after the fact.
I'm watching it right now, and it's this bad.
And that's the way America watches this show.
All right. Well, Scotty says wait until the name-calling happens. It's only coming to sleep. Well, let's get a couple of these... let's
see. I guess Scotty watches The View also.
Yes.
What doesn't he watch?
Brian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I honestly do not give the remotest crap about this.
Good for
you, sir. I've got such a deep, deep-seated hate and contempt for people like Elizabeth Hasselbeck. First of all, where she gets her notoriety, and this goes to show that anybody, and I mean anybody, can get famous, can make a record, can get their own talk show.
Why is that the truth?
Yeah, Sarah was right. Sarah was right that she comes from whatever Fantasy Island, whatever the hell that show is.
Survivor.
Yeah, there you go. And then she happens to be the wife of like some eighth seed quarterback. I don't even know where he is now. He's an NFL quarterback, brother of Matt Hasselbeck. Tim Hasselbeck is her husband.
Oh, I see. She was sort of the signing bonus.
Yeah, you know, she's the token, you know, cutesy girl, I guess, and she's good for controversy because she drinks the GOP Kool-Aid, you know, she gulps the GOP Kool-Aid, and so of course I think that's her purpose. But another thing that I'd like to submit for the benefit of the show is a few years ago Jim Rome had this great little add-on to his show called the Piece of Crap List, and he would add various sports players to the Piece of Crap List whenever they, you know, exhibited their crappiness. And so just for your consideration, please, you know, do consider adding that to the show and put her on it as the first, you know, entry.
Okay, thank you, sir.
And I'm gone.
Thank you. All right. I don't have a piece of crap list. Jim Rome has apparently carved out that bit of broadcasting gold. You know what I do have today, though? You know what I got last night?
A book.
I bought the book.
Right here.
Book of what?
I was you know.
I don't.
I was gonna unveil this later.
A large black book.
I was gonna unveil this in the program later on.
Oh, is this a write your own book?
You know, I started, the other day I started keeping a list with those idiot parents that were, we had those idiot parents, the ones that had the cops at the graduations so nobody could cheer, and then the other idiot parents that were demanding that the photos of the kids with like a beer in their hand be taken out of the yearbook, mm-hmm. and I said, God damn it, that's it, I'm starting the list. Well, here's the big
one. Oh, you're so creepy.
Here's the big black book. It's a gigantic, big, thick black book right here.
Well, you know what?
These pages are all empty right now. But they're going to fill.
Let's fill them up.
They're going to fill quickly.
That sounds...
Elizabeth Hasselbeck may or may not.
And you know, we're all going to get canned the second somebody on that list accidentally dies of some strange thing.
You keep equating the book with violence.
No,
you keep equating the book with that.
If you have a big black book, some people might equate it with violence. And if something happens strangely to somebody, even though you would have nothing to do with it, then you're going to be... It's going to be pointed at
you. Rick Emerson does not advocate, condone, promote, endorse, or encourage violence in any way. That would be wrong. On that note,
Elizabeth, you're just as sensitive when I'm hurt as I am when you were.
Yeah.
Every time you get hurt, did I reach out to you?
There's a war going on out there.
She's a true American.
Why it's my fault if people spin words that you put out there or phrases that suggest things. And I gave you an opportunity 2 days ago to clarify the statement that got you in trouble.
Could she show more skin?
That got me in trouble. As a friend, you gave me the opportunity. That was very sweet of you.
Oh, I can't watch any more of this. All right, so there you go. So apparently, is there any other sound or any other news on this?
Elizabeth Hasselbeck says, despite the heated exchange, she and Rosie are still friends.
Ro and I have invested a lot into our friendship and our time, and I think that for two women who disagree on many things, socially, politically, we also have a lot of passion. I'd rather be dealing with someone with passion for this world that we live in than someone with apathy.
She's a bubbly great passion.
Isn't Ro like another term for feces? Like if you when they clean out a fish?
I always think of row your boat.
Our good friend Kristen. Hello there.
Well, hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to clarify, no, Barbara was not on the show yesterday.
All right. So is she just avoiding this whole thing?
Well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it's a
mess.
It's better
when she's not on.
It is. Well, and she was on today, and she made some lame comments about, of course they had to address all the drama that happened, and... she had some lame statement about, we shouldn't fight, and, we're good people, and there's no need to do it, and, it was just...
Not all of them are.
No, it's true. No, it's making my ears bleed. I don't think I can listen anymore.
Yeah, but they do... Well, I turn and watch Bob Barker myself.
Good for you.
In the morning.
He could be Rosie's replacement on the view.
You get the feeling that Bob Barker, though... Don't you get the feeling that Bob Barker could really just bring the smack down if he had to?
Mm-hmm. He would.
He's a guy...
With just one phone call.
I mean, let's be honest. That's a guy who's been corralling loud, fat women for like 40 years on that show. You know what I mean?
Oh, and he's a master at it, too.
He really is. Excellent. Yeah. All right, thank you, Kristen.
No, thanks.
All right, there you go. All right, before we break, is there any more view news?
No, that'll do it.
This email really sums it up. He says, hey, you're discussing American Idol, The View, and Jim Rome. Everything you're on, he cares about. Well done. Thank you, sir. All right, thank you.
We've got Keith Olbermann coming up, too.
See, there you go. That's back in our wheelhouse.
If you don't care, you will care after you hear this.
If you haven't been talking about Keith Olbermann, you will. All right, back after this. More of Tim Riley ahead. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. You stay right there. See, now I'm getting submissions. People wanting to add to the list. Not a community list. This is my list also. If you let the whole world weigh in on the list, then the book's going to be full. There's no room for the people I want to put on the list. All right, 503-733-2970. That doesn't even make any sense. How can Doritos have meat in them?
They put meat in everything.
In the water. You'll love our coffee. It's got meat in it. Rick, because this guy says, Rick, can I nominate somebody for the list? No, you may not.
I mean, you can nominate somebody for the list. And I don't think we're for the book right here. But you can't really put somebody on the list. I mean, that is at the sole discretion of me, Rick Emerson. Because otherwise, the book's just going to be full.
So it won't be on the table at the next listener party.
No, no. People are, well, maybe for viewing, but not for altering.
I see.
You'll be able to look at the list. And you can suggest, I suppose, someone for the list, but you cannot add to the list. That is solely in the hands of me. Rick, can I nominate somebody for the list? My nominee is local douchebag, Richard. That's like Area Man in The Onion. An Area Man is a local douchebag. I'm Doyle Redland. This is an email read by... I did not write this email. I'm simply passing this along. Local douchebag Richard Freimark. He's in the news right now complaining about the mystery flavor Doritos. Are there mystery flavor Doritos?
Well, those are the same Doritos that you were talking about a couple of minutes ago.
Apparently, he's a vegetarian, and because he's so concerned with what goes into his body, he can't be bothered with reading the ingredients of a product before he buys it. He's whining because the Doritos he bought have some kind of steak flavor with real meat.
Oh. Well, buy something else. You have a choice of many different products.
Well, that's what
how do you even adhere meat to a chip?
I don't know, but I'm going to buy some.
Everything.
And then he says, then he signs it, douchebag. All right, there you go. But is it actually a mystery flavor, or does it say, like, steak flavor?
I haven't bought the product myself.
I wouldn't
be eating them.
You're not familiar with this? Scotty, have you seen the new Doritos?
Maybe we have some of the machines.
That would be fantastic. Let me know, Scotty. Get back to me. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, the president looks forward to a resolution of the war with a dispute with the congressional Democrats, who are backing down more every second.
This bill also reflects a consensus that the Iraqi government needs to show real progress in return for America's continued support and sacrifice.
He defends his decision to invade Iraq.
I weighed the risks and rewards of any decision. I firmly believe the world's better off without Saddam Hussein in power. I know the Iraqis are better off without Saddam Hussein in power. I think America's safer without Saddam Hussein in power.
So I guess the Democrats agree because they're backing down on everything that they were elected to do. And you know who took the axe to the Democrats last night? Keith Olbermann.
Fantastic.
Let's play a little bit of this.
Is a step right off a cliff. And this president, how shameful it would be to watch an adult hold his breath and threaten to continue to do so until he turned blue. But how horrifying it is to watch a president hold his breath and threaten to continue to do so until innocent and patriotic Americans in harm's way are bled white. You lead this country, sir. You claim to defend it. And yet when faced with the prospect of someone calling you on your stubbornness, which has cost 3,431 Americans their lives and thousands more their limbs, you, Mr. Bush, imply that if the Democrats don't give you the money and give it to you entirely on your terms, the troops in Iraq will be stranded or forced to serve longer or what? Have to throw bullets at the enemy with their bare hands?
Let's move down a little bit here.
They continue down this path. They told you what to do, and now...
Well, here we go. He's talking about the Democrats here.
The Democrats.
They voted on the original Iraq authorization or waiting for apologies for those votes. That is ancient history now. The Democratic nomination is likely to be decided tomorrow. The talk of practical politics, the buying into of the president's dishonest construction, fund the troops or they will be in jeopardy, the promise of tougher action in September, is falling not on deaf ears, but rather falling on Americans who already told you what to do and now perceive your ears as deaf, as closed to practical politics. Those who seek the Democratic nomination need to, for their own political futures, and with 1,000 times more solemnity and importance for the individual futures of our troops, denounce this betrayal, vote against it, and if need be, unseat Majority Leader Reid and Speaker Pelosi if they continue down this path of guilty, fatal acquiescence to the tragically misguided will of a monomaniacal president.
Excellent.
Well, many of those who elected them will politely suggest that they stay there, and permanently. Because on the subject of Iraq, the people have been ahead of the media, ahead of the government, ahead of the politicians for the last year, or 2 years, or maybe three. Our politics is now about the answer to one briefly worded question. Mr. Bush has failed, Mr. Warner has failed, Mr. Reid has failed. So, who among us will stop this war of lies? To he or she fall the figurative keys to the nation. To all the others, presidents and majority leaders and candidates and rank-and-file congressmen and senators of either party, there is only blame for this shameful and bipartisan betrayal. Good night and good luck.
There you go, Keith Olbermann.
God, love that guy.
Doesn't get better than that.
No, it really doesn't. And I mean, I just sort of accept that the Republicans are evil, and you know, but and not at least they're not spineless, but they are evil. Democrats are evil and spineless,
super spineless.
Exactly. They I don't know what the inverse of a spine is. They are actually just really just single celled gelatinous organisms of some kind, just sort of amorphous balls of ineptitude. Because they have no excuse at this point. That's why I can never. And I get people who think we don't really run a partisan show so much as we just run a show that hates stupidity. That's really the only thing we dislike on the show is morons.
And the Democratic Party seems to be loaded with them.
Oh, no.
And they were elected to do something, and they turned out to be morons anyway.
The Democratic Party is just filled to the gills with idiocy and uselessness. That's why I could never be a Democrat, ever, ever, ever. I could never be a registered Democrat in any way, shape, matter, manner, or form.
They're damn fools.
They really are damn fools and gutless on top of it. I mean, just to talk about having the abject lack of courage of your convictions, especially when you got like 85... What kind of guts does it take to do something when you got 85% of the goddamn country behind you? I mean, talk about... I think the Democrats are just so used... They're just such beaten dogs. They're just so used to kowtowing down to and bending before the Bush administration. Because for so long, the American people were sort of, for the war. Now that 90% of the people are against the war, the Democrats, it's like muscle memory. They're reflexive action. They're like France. Their first instinct is always, I give up, just to surrender. Doesn't matter what it is. Good stiff breeze. Democrats fold like a house of badly stacked cards. Jesus.
So now that Democrats are chickening out, why not go and threaten Iran some more? We sent a big, huge flotilla of U.S. Navy ships to really harass them.
It's not just Iran pursuing nuclear weapons. It's Iran supporting Hamas and Hezbollah. It's Iran interfering in our efforts in Iraq. These are not people who are prepared to negotiate with us. They think they're on a roll. And until we disabuse them of that, they're going to continue their present course to our detriment.
That's John Bolton.
All right. There you go. We've got back to something Americans care about. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show about Doritos. Hello, sir.
Hi, Rick. There was a story on the news this morning about that guy that bought those, and the bag is clearly marked. It's an experimental thing. I asked the same question, how are they putting meat on a Dorito chip? But anyway, it's clearly marked that it has meat products involved in it, so the guy that bought them is a moron.
Yeah, F him. Have you tried them? Do they taste...
No. The first time I ever heard about it was this morning on the news.
And so the...
But it doesn't even. The bag doesn't even look like a Doritos bag. I mean, it looks like a brown nondescript bag with a bunch of experimental things written all over it. So I don't know where he bought them from, but apparently he did, and he was upset about it because it has meat in it.
So Scotty is saying that they're calling them Doritos X13.
Yeah, that's right.
They're calling it some sort of world of tomorrow. I mean, it's pretty good. It's a kind of a cool publicity stunt. So I guess the contest is what, to name them.
I don't know. I think they're just doing them. I think Portland must be just a test market or something. But I've never seen them before. I mean, not that I buy Doritos a lot, but I've never seen them before. So I think it's something real brand new they're just bringing out or trying to introduce into the market and seeing what the response is. But
meat flavored Doritos. And the thing is, this has totally had the desired effect. Is now I want to go buy some. Now I want to go buy a big bag and eat them right here.
Well, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Thank you, sir.
Thank goodness American Idol is over. Now we can concentrate on the things that are most important to Americans.
In that war,
forget about that gas is going to $4 to $5 a gallon. They're putting meat in Doritos.
Nobody has health care. No. There's meat flavored chips.
Yeah, the nation is outraged.
Totally. I can eat a bag of Doritos while I'm waiting for the hospital to amputate my foot because the because nobody would pay for me to have proper toe care. All right. Hi, Rick. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
They have flavored bags, and the lady said that the flavor was like McDonald's cheeseburgers.
Oh.
But that's where the meat would probably come in.
Yeah,
but this is a thriftway out in Lake Oswego, so...
Meat is really only the most relative of terms, I guess, in that sense, then, so...
Yeah, it's meat like pepperoni's meat.
Maybe it's called M-E-T-E.
I was just gonna say M-E-E-T. Thank you, sir. Fantastic. Totally. If you'd like some of Krusty the Clown's meat-like substance, please send a stamped envelope to...
I think we really struck a nerve with this one.
Look at the phones. What have we brought up today?
We brought up the war. We brought up the Democrats.
Another war with Iran is coming up.
Talk about meat flavored Doritos. Suddenly, people can't get enough of this radio program. Let's take another call, shall we? Hi, Rick Emerson. Hello.
Hey, Rick, this is Dave.
Hi.
Hey, for the love of God and sweet Jesus, to use your lexicon, I've tried those X-113 Doritos.
Yeah.
They taste like ass. I mean, they are horrid. They are, oh, I mean, my wife says, here, try one of these. You're supposed to name them. And I literally, after eating just one chip, I just said they should be called Doritos ass chips.
Now,
not bad.
Now, do they taste like meat?
No, they actually, because it's like my wife goes, well, can you figure out what it is? And both my daughter and I were kind of looking at each other and said, I know what that taste is, but it's something I don't like. It's just, it's horrid. I mean, it is just the absolute worst. It's like new Coke.
Now, where did you get these?
My wife picked them up, I believe, at Winco.
I think that tells us what we need to know. Are you sure this isn't at Winco? Are you sure this isn't some toxic thing that they inadvertently created that they're trying to dump down on the lower class? Send these to the food for less.
It might have been Menudo flavored Doritos.
Tripe flavored Doritos. All right, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
There you go. All right, there you go. Fantastic. Well done. Where are those swill flavored chips? One more, then we'll do some real news. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
What's up?
How about beef with a PH?
I'm sorry. Oh, beef with a PH, BEEPH.
Yes.
That really is funny. That is a uniquely American thing too. The like cheese with a Z or something. That is like a cheese food. That is a uniquely American creation. And don't get me wrong, I am no snob. I eat all kinds of artificial, fake, weird, created in a laboratory food. Like, you know, I mean, like
cheese in a can.
Totally, I eat cheese in a can to this day, and I'm a 34-year-old man, and I have no shame. No shame at all. All right.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. All right. Okay, thanks. Bye. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, the Battle of Grey's Anatomy star Isaiah Washington will appear in a new tolerance theme PSA starting tonight. Apparently, this is going to be on beginning at 9 o'clock during the repeat episode. So I guess this is what he has to say.
When you use words that demean a person of sexual orientation, race, or gender, you send a message of hate, a very powerful message. For we all have the power to demand better for one another and ourselves. We have the power to heal and change the world with the words we use.
Why does it sound like he's doing the voiceover for a phone sex line?
It does, doesn't it?
It does sound a little... If you'd like to talk to shirtless men right now, please to be calling. This is because he was calling whatever... Who's the guy?
T.R. Knight.
T.R. Knight. Who is
he? He was called a derogatory slur. You derogatory slur.
But he's staying on the show, right, Isaiah Washington?
I was just on one of those gossip pages, and it says he'll probably be fired this afternoon.
All right.
That was on the Socialites Life.
Excellent.
I don't know.
Good for them. Bye now. So there you go. As Sam Kinison once said, don't get caught, or you'll have to do a public service announcement just like this one. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, Florida Fish and Wildlife officials are expected in a Miami Lakes neighborhood to deal with an unwanted guest, a 10-foot-long alligator. Area parents like Bob are afraid for their children.
Younger children are like small animals. The alligator probably won't bother you too much. But if you're small in the alligator, if he's hungry, he's going to eat.
That's the public service announcement.
And they were swinging. That totally is like that's a Bud Dickman voice right there. That's exactly what that is. That guy is just swallowing every one of his words.
Well, let's do the best we can over this upcoming holiday weekend to stop children from drowning, shall we? The Council on Stopping Drowning Children, Julie Belize, has some tips for you.
Supervision means sitting by the pool and watching your kids.
Supervision is what
not
Superman has.
Book, not talking on the phone, not tending the barbecue, but watching your kids.
Children often drown silently.
It's really a misconception about drowning that there'll be a lot of splashing, screaming, and cries for help. Drowning actually happens quickly and quietly.
A public service announcement from the people who care. We care about the community here at AM 970.
I didn't even get a... First of all, two things.
So remind you...
It's really a misconception about drowning that there'll be a lot of splashing, screaming, and cries for help. Drowning actually happens quickly and quietly.
Okay. Two things. One, should we give this to Lacey? I didn't get a courtesy laugh at my supervision. Supervision is what Superman has. Ha ha. Ha.
Oh, we're living it.
You're
sitting on it, so embarrassed.
You're laughing inside.
Yes.
And then what? Children drown silently?
Yes, and the number of small children who drown in pools has been roughly the same for years.
The number has pretty much stayed the same year after year after year, and we really want to get that number down. There is no reason a child should drown in a swimming pool.
They sound like fake news clips. They don't sound real at all.
We don't do fake stories.
We're going to work really hard to get that number down. Do we get a tote bag or something if the number goes down far enough? All right. Let's see. I had all these emails about meat flavored Doritos. Rick, I got some of these up in Tacoma. Who really? You can never. Of course you did. They're Winco and they're in Tacoma.
That would be a delicacy. Sidewalk dining in Tacoma.
Making canapes this Saturday. I got some of these up there in Tacoma. They tasted kind of hamburger ish, but with way too many dill pickles. I call them mystery meat. There's no two people agree. Somebody else said they taste like tartar sauce. There's no two the people agreeing on what they taste like.
Well, you know we're just going to have to taste them.
I have to now. That's the thing.
This is good for 2 weeks of shows.
It really is. This is like that time we had Kyle bathe with placenta shampoo.
That was fun.
That I got at Winco, by the way. Rick, finally back to the topics America really cares about. Doritos. He says, anywho, why is it so surprising there's meat and Doritos? There's always been chicken and biscuits. Ha ha. That's very amusing. Let's see. Do you know how many flavors of Doritos there are?
No.
All right, hold on a second. One.
Two.
Hold on a second.
Oh, there aren't.
Two.
Are you counting?
Yes, I get it. How many flavors of Doritos currently available in the United States do you think there are?
12.
Tim?
Five.
18.
Wow.
Nacho cheese.
Cool. Oh, are you really going to name them all?
Yes, I am. This is the way to a 12.
Because if we don't, we're going to continuously get phone calls on this.
That's the thing. We've got to burn the Dorito topic out. Otherwise, it's just going to end up being like 3 hours of, it's going to be ended 3 hours of that. Nacho cheese, known as nacho cheesier, from 92 to 2005, by the way. Cool ranch, toasted corn, spicy nacho, taco, salsa, salsa verde, fiery habanero, ranchero, natural white nacho cheese, baked nacho cheese, these flavors all taste the same. There's really only one flavor of Dorito. Baked cool ranch, black pepper jack, light nacho cheese, blazing buffalo and ranch, wild white nacho, smoking cheddar barbecue, and X13D. Mystery flavor to be named during a 2007 spring-summer promotion. So that's an ongoing kind of contest. Let's see. This guy says these are revolting. They just taste like a bag full of rancid cucumbers. Fantastic. Well, now we have to get some. So please, I hate to make people do our work for us, but drop us up. Find a bag of these and bring them by, please. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Breaking news, Donald Trump is weighing in on the latest Rosie controversy.
I've always said Rosie is very self-destructive. She's going to leave in a certain period of time, and that's really what happened. Rosie wears thin. Rosie will go on to another show, and like her first show, it'll fail.
See, how can you not like that guy? I mean, the great thing about Donald Trump is he's not like a Democrat. He doesn't back down and go all spineless. He starts as an a-hole. He finishes as an a-hole. There is no deviation. He knows what he does, and he does it constantly.
He loves Doritos with meat.
As far as Elizabeth Hasselbeck, I've always said she's probably the dumbest person on television. But when she calls me obnoxious, she was probably right.
See? Come on. I got to embrace that guy. You know, he just goes with it. He doesn't try to pretend to be something he's not.
No.
Which is the same thing about that is both great and terrible about Rosie O'Donnell. All right. I've got all these other emails. All right. 503-733-2970. We don't have a CNN person coming up, by the way, so we'll run just a little bit later. But let's do another one, then we'll break.
Well, let's talk about this movie, Pirates of the Caribbean, shall we?
Can we, please? Can we talk about it every day forever?
Well, till the end of the week.
All right.
But this Dorito story may knock it off the charts. Johnny Depp says people surprisingly relate to his character, Captain Jack.
People feel this very strong connection with Captain Jack. You know, seeing little kids dressed up as Captain
talking Jack Sparrow. Talking in an accent.
You know, talking like him and stuff. It's just... It's amazing.
Oh, he's doing that stupid actor thing where he's
when
trapped in the character.
When
you
demean a person because of their sexual orientation, race, or gender, you send a message of hate.
He's... Johnny Depp is, that's how, he's doing that thing to let you know he's a serious actor, because see, he's trapped in the character. Even now that he's not filming, he is Captain Jack Sparrow. And you're going to hear that, and you'll see this on the biography special, I guarantee it. Sometimes after a movie wrapped, for it would take Johnny Depp weeks to shake off the actor coat, or whatever, and then it would cut to him like talking in a dumb accent, like at a taco house somewhere.
All right. It's time for a clip from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Hooray.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
No, what are you doing? What?
I never get tired of that.
Coming to a theater near you this weekend.
Please see it with the kids repeatedly, won't you?
5 or 6 times.
Jam your big, stupid American bulk into that seat and watch it like a moron.
And while you're at it... Have a bag of Doritos with meat.
I guess I have no one to talk. I'm ridiculing people who are going to see Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm trying to get people to bring me meat-flavored Doritos for free. Oh, God. This really is a weird program. Rick, in the United...
We're just giving the people what they want.
It is true. In the United Kingdom, they have roast beef, pastrami, and other meat-flavored chips. All meat, all the time. Yeah, other countries are... there's a lot of strange flavored things in other nations. It really is true. Like, and I would encourage you, if you've ever gone to Chinatown in San Francisco, you go through Chinatown in San Francisco... there are vegetables and just foods there that, like, I swear to God, you think they're from another planet. Like, you have no... You look down and it's like... I mean, it's something like... It'll look like a piece of asparagus, but it's like 9 feet long and pink and has like an eyeball in the front of it. And you're like, what is that?
And they're really aggressive. The ladies who own these, well, the wives of the husbands who run these restaurants will pull you right up the stairs to eat.
No,
they don't take no for an answer.
It's like those guys who hand out porn in Las Vegas, you know, in those hooker ads. You walk along... I'm sorry, escort ads. You walk along and then literally, you come have dim sum! I don't know, I was...
No, right down.
I'm just putting money to me. You eat. You come eat. Okay, sure. Okay, whatever. Let's see. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello there.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
There's a great place, Colorado Springs, around July 4th of July. If Nate's driving through there.
Are you calling for cross country? Are you calling for the cross country Nate segment?
This is the right segment.
Yes.
What kind of cult screening is this?
Hey, you know what? Well, on another note, I meant to call yesterday. I've been dying to call you guys. I would think it would be obvious who you would take to the body show. Todd the Corpse.
Oh, wait, I didn't know there was going to be humor in this talk. The Body World 3 is coming to OMSI, and we are going to be giving away some picks for that, as they say. All right, well, because due to poor call screening, your observations were allowed through. That normally wouldn't have happened, but what is your observation for Nate?
Oh, in 4th of July weekend, yeah. In Colorado Springs, they have the Pikes Peak Hill Climb, which is the greatest race ever. There's no restrictions on how close you can stand to the cars.
Okay, Pikes Peak Hill Climb. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Have a great day, Rick.
All right, there you go. Don't give me any sass. Scotty said on the screen, you took the call, not me. I took the call because it was on the screen, dick. I took the call because it had been routed through and put up there for me to take. All right. Well, we're really late, so should we just go later?
That never seems to pan out well.
Then
we have a cluster of like 30 minutes of commercials at the end of the show, and that's just not fun for anyone. Don't be mad.
We can't break now.
It's going to be really short, and we'll be right back.
It's the worst possible time to break.
And say the legal ID.
KCMDA in Portland.
It turned into a cluster last time we let it go over. I'm just saying.
We're
going to keep it regimented.
That's because we had Jim Rupla. I'm sorry, Sarah.
That's okay.
I won't let you down again. This will be the last day I disappoint you.
All right, well, then we're breaking in 7 minutes.
All right, that's fine. Well, we'll just continue with Tim here. Ah, yeah, here's Tim Riley, the thing.
Well, there are people following a Paris Hilton around Hollywood to see what she's up to next. And apparently what she's done lately is rent the movie Happy Feet. She was dressed in prison jeans with a butch polo shirt, grabbing her Louis Vuitton satchel and sauntering into Blockbuster in WeHo.
Did you say prison jeans and a butch shirt?
That's correct.
What were you talking about?
Paris Hilton.
Jeans?
What's a butch polo shirt?
I don't know. That's the way it's described.
Is this from Perez Hilton?
Yes.
Okay.
No, this is from TMZ.
Okay. I was going to say, I thought I recognized the verbiage. Is there a photograph?
There is.
Is it bad?
Well, I don't know.
She's just so unappealing. She's so unattractive to me in every way. And it's so much so that I'm going to quit talking about it because I think it's well established that she's hideous. All right.
Well, she settled on the penguin flick, Happy Feet, and Charlotte's Web to get some free jail jollies. She also bought an ice cream cone, wisely substituting licking for liquor as she walked back to her infamous car.
There you go.
Raul and I rented Paris Hilton's movie. It's called Bottoms Up. Have you heard of it?
No.
It came out like a year ago.
What kind of movie is this?
It's some horror movie. It has Jay from Clerks and Mallrats and...
I've never even heard of this. I thought she only did that horrible House of Wax.
No, it is so awful. She plays like a Hollywood starlet, and he's going to Hollywood from like Wisconsin or something to do a bartending contest, and he bumps into her, and she's all like super famous actress. It's hilarious, and I ended up falling asleep like 20 minutes into it. So I'm going to watch it today.
It sounds like a real rib tickler.
Man, she is the worst actress I have ever seen.
Well, because she always just plays herself. She always just plays like in House of Wax. She always just plays a dumb Hollywood celebrity.
There's no emotion in her face, and all she was doing was just like flipping a bunch of people off and acting like a bitch, which she usually does.
No, it's... let's be honest here. Who hopes that she's beaten in prison? Sarah?
Come on now.
Do you?
Of course.
Tim?
I'm not allowed to make comments like that.
I'm sorry, that's... You know, that violate the
Eleanor Murrow Code of Ethics.
The system of objectivity that the Columbia Broadcasting System tries to uphold.
I'm just saying that girl needs to be smacked around a little bit.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well...
No?
Yes?
I didn't say it.
Somebody's trying to smuggle 700 snakes on a plane. The flight from Egypt to Saudi Arabia nearly turned into a real-life version of the motion picture.
This show copyright 2006.
Airport authorities in Cairo detained an Egyptian man because he was trying to smuggle 700 live snakes onto a plane. They were told about the live snakes by the man after he was asked to open up his bag. He opened the bag and asked the officer not to come too close, probably because two poisonous cobras were among the snakes hidden in the small cloth sacks. The man said he hoped to sell the snakes in Saudi Arabia. Police then confiscated the snakes and turned the man over to the prosecutor's office, accusing him of violating export laws and endangering the lives of the patients.
Scotty is noting that from what he read, that Paris Hilton went to get these movies and then drove off again on a suspended license. Is that true?
Yes.
Is that true?
You don't want to take public transportation if you're in L.A.
Lindsay Lohan gets wasted at 21 and over clubs every night. That's the way it works.
Yeah, but Lindsay Lohan isn't really in the crosshairs right now. Paris Hilton is, I mean, she's going to jail. What? I mean, you can't just drove off. Well, I mean, look, I've done that. But, I mean, I'm also, I'm not in the paparazzi crosshairs in Los Angeles today. So... I mean, don't you just sort of take it as an article of faith, though, that like when you go to a traffic court or when you go to, you know, whatever, the city hall, or there's people there who are, you know, they're going to settle a traffic ticket or a driving ticket or something, that half of the people there aren't supposed to have driven there. It's like it's like when I got my license suspended and I went to the DMV to get my license back. How do you think I got my car to the DMV to take the test? I mean, come on. Scotty says, do you want to interview Paris Hilton? Yeah, you knock yourself out, Scotty. Scotty really is charming sometimes with the way that his ambition totally outstrips his abilities in terms of guest booking. Here's Tim Riley.
In California, if you do something wrong, you do have the option of taking those DMV classes at the Comedy Store.
Is that true?
Yeah, I took one really once.
I don't understand. Why would you take...
Well, comedians teach the course.
So you go there and it's like Howie Mandel teaching you about how to do like a left-hand turn correctly?
I got some B-level comedians that I didn't even know. But yeah, that is an option.
Tonight, Sinbad teaches you about parallel parking.
Huh?
Well done. All right. Let's do a couple more here and we'll take a break.
A beer truck plunges 400 feet off a cliff. This happened in Oak Ridge, Oregon, wherever that is. The driver escaped injury after losing control of his beer truck. The rig overturned on Highway 58 east of Oak Ridge. The trailer separated and crashed down a 400-foot embankment, spilling the beer all the way down the mountain.
All the humanity.
Mm-hmm. OSP believed that the brakes locked and the truck rolled. The cabin ended up on top of the highway. The driver's from Aloha. He wasn't hurt. But that's a lot of spilt and crumbled up beer. An 11-year-old director has settled his lawsuit against a woman he claimed demanding creative control over his short film after she helped finance it.
Dominic Scott Kay, a child actor who's the voice of Wilbur the Pig in Charlotte's Web, sued Conroy Cantor, alleging she demanded creative control and distribution and promotion rights for his movie, Saving Angelo, after she put about $11,000 into the project. This sounds like some Ed Wood story. This is a 50-minute motion picture starring Kevin Bacon, and is based on Kay's real-life effort to nurse an abandoned, badly injured dog. As part of the settlement, Cantor will receive a producer credit, and the young filmmaker will get full rights to the movie. A call to Cantor's attorney hasn't been returned as of yet. As for the movie, Kay was in the middle of editing and planning to submit it to the L.A. International Short Film Festival. Dominic has worked hard on this film, and finally it can be finished and distributed widely.
Somebody says, we've already got calls coming in about Cross Country Nate. Somebody said this, though, Rick, I am ashamed. Your knowledge of geography is beyond pathetic. To think I get angry with my children if they cannot name what two seas are connected by the Bosporus Strait. I don't even know if that's a real place.
Yes, it is.
Do you know what two seas are connected by it?
The Baltic and the...
Are you making that up?
I am.
Totally bluffing.
And the Black Sea.
If it doesn't involve something being filled with meats or meat-like flavor, I don't understand it. He said, you don't even know where Wyoming is. No, I swear to God, I thought Wyoming was like way down by Mexico somewhere. I thought Wyoming was next to Texas.
No, Wyoming is one of those square states out the middle of nowhere.
Is it? But it's next to Idaho.
Yeah, it's where cattle graze.
See, I didn't know that. I thought it was sort of...
Well, it's kind of a useless state.
I don't even really know what... Yeah, I don't even know what's there. I think Yellowstone is there, maybe. And I think there's like a spring somewhere that bubbles up somewhere. He says, please do us all a favor and use the money you're earning for the retarded and apply it to a geography class. No, because geography... I mean, look, unless I...
I don't think there are any geography classes being offered this semester.
No, and geography is a fundamentally useless skill anyway. I mean, really, unless, like, you are that guy, unless you are Nate going across country, there's really... geography is not a thing anybody ever uses. Geography is another one of those classes that they teach you in school.
If you're a pilot, you might use it.
Well, I suppose, but I mean, I imagine if that's the case, I guess they'd figure out you didn't know it and they'd stop you at the door and they'd make you read a book about it or something. I'm just saying, I don't even, it's one of those things that they have to teach you in school, because otherwise it'd be like a 2-hour school day and you'd be out setting fire to cars in Southeast Portland. So they gotta find stuff to sort of drag the school day out with. All right, what else do we have? There's more emails making fun of our lack of geographical knowledge.
I didn't even notice we had a lack of it.
No, because you never use it. Like, when do you ever use your geographic knowledge? That's like you always hear those stupid studies that they... And look, I'm not going to say that Americans are
smart.
Well,
I've driven cross-country, so I had to know it then.
Yeah, but I mean, you just follow the line on the map. Like, you don't have to know... You don't have to know where anything is. You just have to follow the directions. That's my point. Is that you don't really have to know where the... It's like once a year you'll hear some story. And I'm not going to dispute that Americans are stupid. Americans are damn stupid. There's no getting around that fact. But you'll hear those 85% of Americans cannot even locate Kuwait on a map. Who cares if you can locate Kuwait on a map? It's not a skill. No one has ever interviewed you for it. Unless your name
is... Well, as long as the government's telling us, oh, they're going to come over here and shoot us all.
That's
you don't
what
care.
I'm saying.
You just take their word for it. We believe anything.
That's exactly my point. There's us, and then there's people who are not us. And that's all I need to know about geography. There's us, and there's people who look
people
different.
Are always menacing us.
There's, unless your name is Paul Wolfowitz, no one has ever interviewed you for a job and asked you if you knew where something was on the map. It's a useless skill. This guy has sent us, let's see, did you know that in Greece there are lasagna-flavored potato chips? Mm. Boy, this is really a boring email. I'm not going to read it. That's really becoming the Doug Steffen Show when I start to read this. All right. We should take a break here. We'll come back at the bottom of the hour. We'll have a few more from Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. We will talk to Cross Country Nate. We will do Scotty J's Top 5 Tune-Out Songs. We'll have Like Us for 3, Donna Mike at 7, and so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970. Still to come, we have today's top five. More from Tim Riley of the Ministry of Truth. I went into the kitchen just now. I was hoping against hope that guy Eric would have stocked the machine with some of the X35J stroke 9 Doritos or whatever they're called. All they have are these. These purport to be buffalo and ranch. Gonna happen. Did you know in Britain? Oh, boy. Ugh.
What are those?
Bad. They are.
Why are you bringing those into a room with no air?
They smell like death. Oh, I'm just going to seal these back up. Oh.
I thought the buffalo was extinct.
I don't know what I was thinking with that. Oh, man. I think my eyes are watering. Hold on, I'm going to put these back around. I'm sorry about that. And why isn't there any circulation in this room? Let's get Jeff McGinley on there right away.
Jesus. Oh. We don't have a Jeff McGinley anymore.
Yes, I know. That's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. I wonder what's happening on the television mounted on the wall here. Oh, no. 503-733-2970. Rick, after listening the past couple of days, I can only cringe in horror as I am party to the geographical ignorance of the typical American. This is probably another schmancy foreigner emailing in. Given the places offered by your listeners, poor Nate's itinerary will look like one of those spider webs created by LSD-headed arachnids. I'm sure they'll love that sit and spit or the gun thing or whatever. But maybe Mount Rushmore would hold their interest, but unless he has something for the children and the wife every day, he's going to be one miserable bastard by the end of the second day. Let me work up something for you guys that makes sense, and I'll get back to you. All right, well, I think that the child is like one. So I think the kid is almost a non-issue. I don't even know that it really matters if the dream. We'll I don't know, about the 20, 25 minutes or something. We'll do another segment with Cross Country Nate, who is getting ready to leave his job a week from tomorrow. Next Friday is his last day, and then it's a week from Saturday. He's going to be heading out of the road doing a huge circle all around the country. So we'll do that here in a short while. Rick, quit picking on geographers. Without us, you'd be lost. Where do you think your bike map and Google Earth and MapQuest came from? How do you think the ambulance is going to find you once you have a heart attack from eating all those meat chips? And that's meat, by the way, M-E-E-T. All right. What else do we have? All right, yeah. I know. Okay.
Yeah, it's all downhill. I mean, if you're shoving your face full of meat chips and not bike riding.
I didn't bike ride today.
And Tuesday.
But I rode yesterday, and I will ride tomorrow.
It's every other day. That's what we need to bring
up. It's not every other day. It's every other day so far this week. It was every day last week, Miss Thang. So, you know.
Ew, don't say it.
I'm doing the best I can over here. It's not my fault. Nothing that happens today is my fault. All right, I don't even know where to go here. We've got I got all these emails about Lost, but I'm not really gonna. I understand that last night's finale of Lost was gripping or was exciting or something, but I don't even know really where to go with this because I didn't watch it, so I'm not. And Tim
just left.
I just turned around and asked him a question. Gone. Completely gone.
How can we just be back from commercial break and already be so far behind?
We're not behind. We're just coming up on 1:30. We're getting ready to do the news with Tim here in just a few minutes. We're not behind at all.
No,
what are you talking about?
We just took the 50 break.
No, but I...
Yeah.
We don't have to break again.
No, we don't have to break right this second, but I'm saying we're already a break behind.
We're not a break behind. Okay. Everything is fine. Everything is running flawlessly and without errors.
You are insane today. You know this, right?
I am not insane. Rick... Here's another one. You really need to be watching Lost. The season ended tonight with some of the best television I have ever seen. I don't know if I can go as far as to say that it was as good as the last episode of The Shield Season 5, but it very well may have been. I need to ruminate on it a bit, but it may be the most brilliant piece of writing. This is a bold statement. The most brilliant piece of writing I have seen on television. If you thought the writers on Lost were making it up as they went along, you weren't in a minority. He says the season finale tonight was a huge F.U. to everybody that thought that. We are living in the new golden age of television. Brilliant. And that is from our good friend Patrick. So Lost, as I said, is right up there with, it's like with Battlestar Galactica and Heroes, where I get a lot of email from people. Like, here's another one. I get all these people that tell me that I got to be watching that Heroes show. How about this? Rick, I recently completed viewing the first season of Heroes, and I've come to the realization that the show is for dumb people. I won't say it's for retarded people, because retarded people deserve some sympathy. I understand the need for network television to string the same plot devices along ad infinitum, but usually writers find a way to mask this with a seemingly plausible explanation by storyline events. Instead, the writers of Heroes have decided it necessary to have characters forget how to exploit their superpowers, announce themselves in a grandiose fashion to their arch-nemesis before attacking, and conveniently forget about the need to do some extra, and forget the need to make sure that a villain who's actually dead. I'm not as convinced the devout Heroes fans of changing their ways because they're a lost cause, intent on trying to proclaim Heroes as the best TV show ever. It is not. I'm simply trying to convince you that Heroes is a waste of your time. That's why it's so, and before you like wade hip deep into being a fan of a television program, it's so difficult to figure out what you got to waste your time on, not waste your time, but what you got to invest your time in and what you're not going to invest your time in. Because I, again, as I've said, I watched the first season of Lost, which was great. And then the second season, it was the second season was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. The second season of Lost was one of the most.
The first season was good.
It was okay, but here's the thing about Lost, and I don't even know what the answer is. I don't know if this is even worthy of discussion or if it's even worthy of taking calls on. I really don't know. I'm not saying this to set up a topic. I'm not saying this to generate phone traffic. I really am just saying this, and if people call about it, they call, but if they don't, they don't. Doesn't matter. I'm just saying, season three of Lost just finished, and I am not alone, by the way, in being somebody who watched the first season and thought it was really great, but then kind of fell away during the second season when it just seemed like they had no idea what they were doing. And so maybe the first season and the second season were some sort of elaborate setup for whatever, for finally pulling their head out at the end of last night's episode and finally starting to tie things together. Or maybe not. Maybe they really honestly don't know and they just lucked into it last night. Something I think that may have contributed to it is the fact that I watched the entire first season of Lost in about 2 days on DVD. That's the thing. Because I heard so much about what a great show it was. So Laura and I rented the entire season on DVD and we sat and we watched, I don't know, all 15, 19, 20 episodes, whatever it was of season one, we watched the whole thing in like 2.5 days. And so there was, it wasn't tedious. It wasn't like we were sitting there gnashing and wailing and waiting for the next episode to come around. We got to watch the entire thing. And then once season two came around, it was just so... Do you remember how... And I was not a big Twin Peaks fan. Do you remember how at a certain point on Twin Peaks, though, it got to that place where you just felt like they had just written themselves, like they had no idea how they were going to solve everything.
I'm a fan of the show, and once they started getting to all the supernatural, like aliens, and just when it got really weird, you could tell they were kind of grasping. Because as soon as you found out who killed Laura Palmer, like there was nowhere really to go.
I remember, here's what I know, and I'm not going to use the phrase jump the shark. And the number, by the way, if you do want to weigh in on this, and if you do, you're great. If not, that's fine too. I mean, we got other stuff we got to get to. But there are a lot of people talking about the Lost finale from last night. And by the way, don't worry about spoiling. Don't worry about calling up and telling me something that doesn't matter to me. Because I'm probably not going to watch the third season of Lost. And B, even if I do, I take it as an article of faith that by the time I watch it all on the internet or whether to get it on DVD, I'm gonna know everything that happened anyway. So I don't really care if anybody calls up and spoils me. It doesn't matter. I remember watching Twin Peaks. I mean, we're going back a long time now because that's like 89 or 90. I remember watching Twin Peaks, though, and the moment that I knew that they were just sort of making stuff up was when Dale Cooper, he just came to... There was some episode where it was revealed that Kyle MacLachlan, as Dale Cooper, he could figure out if he was right about something literally by, like, throwing a tin can into the woods. You know what I'm talking about?
And I know what you're talking about, but that wasn't...
And if the tin can ricocheted off something, then he was right. And if it didn't ricochet, then he was wrong. And I remember thinking to myself, they have no goddamn idea what they're doing on the show.
Well, David Lynch has always said that he just kind of makes things up as he goes along. And they didn't jump the shark then because that was like episode like 6 or 7.
Really?
And the reveal for Laura Palmer's killer wasn't until episode 14.
I remember watching that and just thinking to myself, like, this is a program that has no clear idea what they're doing. That's, like, if that really is how you have to, if that is a plot device you have to work in, that he's tossing tin cans into the woods to figure out whether he's right about something. And I think at that point, I continued to watch it for a while, because I was in, you know, because I was a big drama nerd, and drama nerds all watched. We all got together and had wedges of pie while watching Twin Peaks, because that's what you did in the late 80s. You sat around and made damn fine coffee jokes and whatever. And I remember watching it, and then when it was done, I just kind of went, well, okay. That's something I never need to watch again. And, you know, and I didn't. So, I don't know. We'll see. Well, let's get a couple of these. And then, do we have to break and then come back with Tim? Is that the deal?
Yes.
It's okay. So we'll
No, we don't have to break now.
Tim, and then Nate, and then, okay. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
What's up?
Yeah, I just, 2 weeks ago, I built a new Vista Home Premium TiVo thing to record all of my TV shows.
All right,
shows.
It's like the homemade TiVo, yeah.
It's really cool, except for last night in Lost, I was watching all of it, and it didn't get the last 20 minutes.
Ah!
And my wife was so angry. Oh, my God.
She was just like, oh, nice. Real good thing that you got rid of that old, got rid of your old TiVo. It always works. And thanks to Scotty for spoiling it for me in one sentence.
I didn't know. What happened? Did he pick up the phone and talk to you about Lost and reveal what happened?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he's like, oh, yeah, hey, I've never watched the show, but that thing where the guy drowns and then he makes the phone call, which pretty much sums up the whole thing. You know, I'm like, thanks, Scotty.
Well done.
Anyway.
Well, we've saved you like 2 hours of your life. Now you don't need to watch it. So.
Well, now I don't need to download it off of BitTorrent.
Now,
let me ask you this.
Have you been watching Lost since the beginning?
Yeah, but I kind of did what you did. I watched the first season on DVD, and then I downloaded everything off of BitTorrent, but then I kind of started watching, I don't know, probably 6 weeks ago. So I haven't had to wait very long.
In other words, though, so you watched it online now, but have you watched all the episodes? In other words, did you skip season two, or did you go back and you watch it all at once, like on the net or whatever?
I've seen everything but the last 20 minutes.
Okay, and so would you, in your estimation as a viewer, would you say, because again, everybody, you know, we got busy lives, and there's families, and job, and Xbox, and whatever, so you got to really be careful these days, and you got to pick and choose what you're going to spend your energy on. Would you say it is worth it for me to go back and rewatch season two of Lost, just so I can get up to this season finale from last night, which everybody says is fantastic?
Yeah, why not? I mean, you know, what else are you going to do, walk the dog?
It's not really a ringing endorsement.
Well, you know, you're not going to ride your bike, so who cares?
Okay, thank you. Well done. And we're out. All right, fantastic. Thank you. That's Steve. I don't even know what we're doing. Well, this is... So Scotty has already gotten Nate here, so we might as well do this now. Tim has put on his Romulan cloaking device. Oh, he's standing outside the window looking at me now. Look, it's Tim Riley.
He looks very confused.
All right.
That is true.
Okay. Well, let's talk to Nate, and then we will either the news or we'll break, depending on where we are in the schedule at that point. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, Cross Country Nate, who is leaving his job next Friday and taking an entire trek around the country. How are you, sir?
Hey, Rick, I'm great. Let's preempt this by setting off let's try not to do the bars. Yeah, we got a kid, and I just keep on thinking of fat cowboys spitting chew in their whiskey cups.
I see. That is true, and you don't want to be one of those guys that we read about in the news where you left your one-year-old outside in the car so you could go in and pound some whiskey.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So when we last left you, though, you were in Cody, Wyoming. This is it. We're plotting out your trip before you actually take it. When we last left the trip, we had taken you through Maryhill, Boise, Great Falls, Silvergate, and Cody, Wyoming, where there's a Buffalo Bill Museum and guns.
Correct.
So that is, let's see, so I don't know where Cody, Wyoming is, but I understand that it's somewhere near Yellowstone.
Yeah, and we're going through there, too.
Okay, so you'll go through Yellowstone. That's okay. So the question is, if Nate, it's 503-733-2970, so if Nate is, if you are in Yellowstone then, the question is, where to after that? Because then you've gone Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming. So you were then in Yellowstone. So the question is, where do you go after Yellowstone National Park?
South Dakota, I'm thinking.
So now where?
What's after Wyoming?
I don't know. This is the really funny part. Is it the map Scotty has given me? The map Scotty has given me is a close-up on Wyoming, so I can't really... And because, as people have noted repeatedly today, we have no geographic knowledge, I have no idea what states are next to Wyoming. None. Zero. Couldn't tell you. You had a gun to my head. So I don't really know where you go after Wyoming, because you can't... I don't think Arizona's anywhere near that, but to be honest, I really don't know. So we'll kind of take these calls as they come in. I do believe that Yellowstone, I think Wyoming is next to Utah somehow. I think it might be above Utah, but I'm not entirely sure about that. Tim is nodding his head in agreement. Is Wyoming above Utah?
Yes.
All right.
Thanks. So let's try to get a few more stops in between Wyoming and Wisconsin.
All right, so here we go. So this is, I think I hung up on Nate. Oh, Scotty, that's me. Would you get Nate back? That's totally me. I hung up on Nate. I'm sorry about that. Thank you. Well, in the meantime, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. So,
hey.
What after Yellowstone?
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs a right over by somewhat close to Yellowstone is Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Yes, let's see. Yeah, okay, I can see that. It's right here.
And that is a place where you, if you're that close to it, you need to go because it's right on the border of the Grand Tetons, and the mountains are just unreal to look at. It's a lot different than, you know, how the mountains over here are kind of rounded. They literally, it's like they come straight up out of the freaking ground. The highway runs right next to them, headed to Jackson Hole, and it's like these freaking Grand Tetons are damn near solid rock, and it's like they just come, like someone just dropped them right next to the freeway. They come right up, literally almost straight up out of the ground. It's just phenomenal.
Can I ask you a question? And maybe you know the answer to this, maybe you don't. This might be a thing that we have to go to the news department for, but here's the thing I've always wondered. And I don't mean to be crude, but is Grand Tetons French for something? And I think you know what I'm talking about. Does Tetons derive from another word that might have some of those same letters?
It probably does.
All right.
France is less big F-U to us.
It's a thing that I do wonder about, because I do wonder about perhaps the teats of a cow, for example. And I wonder whether or not that word is related to the Grand Tetons. All right, so you vote Grand Tetons because they got the cool mountains and the whatnot.
Oh, yeah, it's something everybody sees. You should get off your non-bike ride now and go see them too, dude. They're awesome.
Yeah, Seamus will be happy to note that everybody is working some sort of a personal slander and insult to me about my non-bike riding today.
Yeah, those poor retarded people, man, they just... You know what's going to happen is you're going to wake up in the morning, there's going to be a crowd of them standing outside your house, and they're just going to pummel you after death.
Okay. A rather dark ending to the call. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Okay.
I think he was just recommending the Grand Tetons because he liked saying Tetons over and over.
Well, actually, Grand Teton means large teat in French.
It does.
Really?
Yeah. So, does that mean... one never knows with the Federal Communications Commission. But, so if Grand Tetons means large teat...
Mm-hmm.
In French. And how perfect, by the way, that it's the French who looked at me and said, it does look like the most massive of bosoms. We should call it the Grand Teat.
They do. There are two of them.
That's fantastic. It's like those. It's like that. What is that power station in San Diego that looks like that? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
When you drive from San Diego to L.A., you pass that power station, looks like a huge set of cans. Never mind. Just talking to myself. All right. We've got Nate back here. Sorry about cutting you off there.
Hey, that's okay.
So we got a guy recommending the Grand Tetons. Apparently they're beautiful. He was really high, though, so I'm not sure how much stock we want to put in that.
He's creative, probably. It might be cool.
All right, let's get a couple here. Okay, so leaving Yellowstone Park High, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What should be the next stop?
Hey there.
Hi there.
Hey, you got to go out in eastern Wyoming, right off of Highway 90. There's Devil's Tower, and what they can do at nighttime. On the side of the building out there, they play Close Encounters of the Third Kind. You sit back, you have a beer, you're in your lawn chair, you're watching the movie projected on the building, and you look right to your right, bam, there it is.
Devil's Tower, of course, is the thing that Richard Dreyfuss is constantly molding stuff in the shape of.
Right out of his mashed potatoes, you know, running the fork right up along the side of it there.
Now, how often do they do this, where they show the movie?
Well, I was just driving through and got there one night. I didn't plan anything out. It sounded like it was something they do every night.
All right, okay.
Are there captions on the movie?
Oh, that's right, because, yeah, he's now, Nate's girlfriend does not hear. She is deaf. So I want So that might, probably not. My guess would be that they do not capture
Probably her. Not.
Does but she, speaking of Richard Dreyfuss, she was in Mr. Holland's Opus.
Your girlfriend was?
Yeah.
As was she like an extra?
Well, yeah, but she got paid some pretty big bank. It was crazy. She was just in a little scene with a bunch of deaf kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because his kid is deaf, and he has that whole tragic thing about Beethoven not being born deaf and so forth. Don't get me started on Mr. Holland's Opus. All right. Thank you, sir.
Excellent. Thank you. Enjoy your trip.
Thank you. Okay, that's Scott. All right, Devil's Tower. But that's in eastern Wyoming. So it seems like we want to find something between Yellowstone and eastern Wyoming. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello there.
An earlier caller said it was above Utah.
I think that was me. I think that was me who said it was above Utah.
We're all above Utah. Wah-wah.
You can't make your own wah-wah sound. You can't. I don't think that's allowed. I think you're divided. No.
How about...
Okay, that's pretty great. Did you call simply to do that?
The Utah thing, that we're all above them, yes.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, yeah. All right.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
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 How about Rapid City, South Dakota?
How about Rapid City, South Dakota? Where, if I'm looking at a map and there's Wyoming, where is South Dakota?
It would be east of Wyoming.
Yeah, I know, but okay. So's China. That doesn't really help me. How, relatively speaking, how close to it is it?
You can get there in a day.
Really? So if you're at Yellowstone, you can get to South Dakota in a day?
Yes. I've done it.
Okay. Is this an I've done it like I was up all night on methamphetamine and red wine? Or is this...
No, I did it with a wife and three kids in a van.
I like how you didn't disagree with the methamphetamine and red wine part, though. All right. What's there? What would you possibly want to see in South Dakota?
They've got the Mount Rushmore.
Is that in South Dakota?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knows more than us. How is it possible that we have this job? We don't know anything. Nobody in this room knows anything about anything except for Tim, and he's never here. All right. So South Dakota, Mount Rushmore. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
There you go. We'll do a couple more here. I don't think we've got a definitive answer except for maybe the Devil's Tower thing. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, I actually live for
10 bulls. It's not working out. Sorry about that. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, as far as South Dakota goes, go to the Reptile Gardens.
Everybody can appreciate.
It's right by Sioux Falls, and you walk through, they have this big, like, indoor terrarium thing. And you walk through, and there's snakes living along their little habitats, hanging from trees. They got some guy that wrestles an alligator, you know, that kind of thing.
And so that is where? That's in South Dakota?
Yeah, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which would be about probably just about maybe a little less than a day's drive from Yellowstone. And then pretty much after that, just skip Iowa, skip everything, just go straight to Chicago.
That's what we do. Now, how can this be a day's drive? I'm looking here at Wyoming, and Yellowstone is on the far left side. It is the westernmost side.
Well, if you drive,
that's a big state. There's no way that's a day's drive from South Dakota.
You can drive from Portland to Des Moines, Iowa in 2.5 days.
All right. Well, let's say if he puts a stop on Devil's Tower, which is on the eastern side of Wyoming, then you go to South Dakota.
Yeah, that's an easy day's drive there, because okay. Devil's Tower is not far from South Dakota. It's right by, Belle Fouche.
Sure. And then, so this is a reptile garden where?
It's right around Sioux Falls.
Okay, Sioux Falls.
No, excuse me, Rapid City, I'm sorry.
Rapid City.
Yeah.
Reptile Garden.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I went there when I was a kid, and then there's some other hokey stuff. You know, the wall drug, it's called.
Yeah, but a lot of people mention the wall drug. All right, excellent. Okay, and then Scotty is screaming at me over the screen, what about the Grand Canyon?
The Grand Canyon's in Arizona.
Yes.
We'll hit that on the way back.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we might hit that on the way back.
Yeah,
I think we've already...
about 1,000 miles to the south.
Yeah, we've passed the Grand Canyon already, Scotty. We'll have to do it on the way back. All right, excellent. All right, thank you, my friend. Thank you, Scott.
Good.
All right, there you go. All right, so here's where we are, Nate. At the end of the day, we've got Maryhill, Boise, Great Falls, Silvergate, Cody, Wyoming, Yellowstone, Devil's Tower, and then Rapid City, where there is a reptile garden.
Beautiful. I love you guys.
All right. And Devil's Tower, even if they don't, close caption the film, even if they're not showing the film, Devil's Tower is pretty cool. I've never been there in person, but I mean, I see a lot of pictures of it. It looks very, very cool.
Yeah, we can paint our baby up like a little devil and take a picture of him. Or something.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Nate.
Thank you. Bye.
There you go. Cross Country Nate, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, will you please welcome the Reverend Tim Riley?
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
An iPod has caused the wing of Benson High School to be evacuated. School officials originally thought it was a suspicious device. But the school district said, well, it turned out to be an iPod. Apparently, some of the older folks running the school there had no idea what this newfangled contraption was. Evacuated students were moved to other classrooms. On Tuesday, a similar incident occurred when the device ended up being a horn used as a school prank. The prank led to a lock-in and evacuation of one wing at Benson High. So all these senior pranks and people leaving iPods around, it's got to stop. A family still unpacking after moving into their new Central Florida home in South Florida were held up and robbed of $2 and a cigarette lighter. I can't believe he walked right up to where I live, and I can't believe he walked up to my mother-in-law and wanted something from her, said one of the victims. And I can't believe I tried stopping a lady who was passing by, and she looked at me and kept on driving.
Where was this at?
Orange County, Florida.
In Orange County? Really?
This is a very unwelcoming, homewarming present. So much so that the family is looking for the fastest way out of Central Florida.
Fantastic.
They haven't even moved in yet. Well, a big cheese is missing, or make that a big cheese trailer. Pennsylvania State Troopers reported a big rig trailer was swiped from a rest stop. The trailer contains 23,000 pounds of refrigerated cheese. The truck driver then hooked the trailer and left it at the rest stop to take his tractor to a repair shop. When he returned, somebody stole his cheese.
Insert the... I'm not even going to say it. I'm not even going to say it. I'm not even going to say who moved my cheese. We're going to move on. I'm not even going to say that. It's beneath me.
Well, a frozen product labeled monkfish distributed in three states is being recalled after two Chicago-area people became ill after eating it. It turned out to be pufferfish and not monkfish. And once again, it comes from China. All this bad stuff comes from. They kill you. They're a big trading partner. It says, one of the labels on the panel read, monkfish gutted and head off product of China. I guess they...
Are you reading English over there?
Well, I think it's Chinese, and okay. They're trying to translate it into English. It says, monkfish gutted and head off.
Head off. China. Applied directly to stomach. Sorry, that was stupid.
No. Consumers who purchase this Chinese monkfish should return it for a full refund. Care should be exercised in handling the fish as it... if it gets on your skin, you could end up with some problems.
What kind of food product can't touch your skin?
This monkfish from China.
All right. I guess I'll skip those new monkfish-flavored Doritos then. That's a little callback there.
Anyone with monkfish questions can call 562. What area code is that? Probably the Grand Cayman Islands.
That's not a real area code. Area codes always have one or zero in the middle.
Well, I think it's the Chinese trying to rip off Americans again. If they're not trying to kill you with monkfish, they're trying to get you in toll charges.
All right.
Oh, and I did a little research. Remember that movie they filmed in Portland? The one with Ron Livingston in it?
Oh,
The
Music Within, yeah.
It just won the Best Narrative Award at the AFI Dallas International Film Festival and will be released commercially in September.
Now, are you guys both in that? Do you know? Do you know if your scenes made it in?
I don't know.
All right. Well, we got it.
I've been lied to before.
I've been hurt.
It was like 5 hours of work for probably like 2 seconds of being on there.
Somebody asked me why I could possibly dislike Mr. Holland's Opus. Here's the thing that I hate about Mr. Holland's Opus. And I don't hate it. It's not a bad film. It's another super teacher film. There's like a rule.
Made in Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like every 18 months there's a movie that comes out about a teacher who reaches the kids who couldn't be reached. I mean, that's fine. That's just, it is what it is. But god damn, I rented a movie the other day and I pulled a Joni. I got about 12 minutes into it and I just couldn't watch it. I just stopped it. It's called The History Boys. It's this British film. Again, it's like a British sort of Dead Poets Society thing. It's about a young group of rapscallion students who didn't take anything seriously until a special teacher came into their lives and taught them about learning. And about 15 minutes and I was just like, this is like having my teeth yanked out of my head, and I had to turn it off. The thing about Mr. Holland's Opus that bugs me, A, it has a cringe-inducing scene. When he does that stupid thing that they do in movies where he tries to relate to the kids by playing rock and roll in music class. And it, you know, because he's a rebel and so forth. But the big thing that bugs me about Mr. Holland's Opus is that they give no resolution his nascent affair, the non-affair with that student, Rowena or whatever her name is.
I didn't see the motion.
They never resolved it.
If you remember, that's the whole thing. It's like Richard Dreyfuss is Mr. Holland, he's a music teacher. And then he has this student who's beautiful and talented and hot and is like coming on to him. And he writes like a theme for her, like he writes a song for her, and he's toying with leaving his wife for her, and she's like, well, you know what, I'll be at the Greyhound station tonight, you know, leave town with me, whatever, and then the student wants him to run away with her. And then they just like never explain, they just never resolve it. They just like leave it there, and you get the feeling it was just sort of cut out. It's like a thing they just never went back to explain. It was very unsatisfying. Hey, by the way, in Iowa, there is the world's largest Cheeto. The world's largest Cheeto is at 1515, for those Iowa listeners, 1515 North McCoy Street, Algona, Iowa. It's at Sister Sarah's Restaurant, Highway 18 East.
Is it in a glass case?
I don't know. You know, there's a phone number. We could call right now.
Let's call it.
Do it.
Says Tim, the instigator. All right. Hey, Scotty, can you come in here for a minute, please? You could just, in the meantime, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What's up?
Not much. You guys are talking about Lost.
Yeah.
I lost interest in it, and then I stopped watching it in second season. If you're going to catch up on anything, you should just get the first season of Heroes and catch up on that.
Okay, so
then you'd only be one season behind.
So Heroes, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up, way up.
See,
that's a good show.
There is no middle ground on that. I know people that love that show, and I know people that despise it. I don't know anybody who is on the fence about Heroes.
No, I like it.
I got to do I won't do it today, but I got to do a whole, like, what should Rick be watching show one of these days. I've done that. I used to do it once a year, and I've kind of fallen out of it. I haven't done it in a couple of years, but I used to do a what should I be watching show once every year, and I got to do another one of these days.
And is Nate going to go to Colorado at all?
Do we already have him going to Colorado? Where's Great Falls? No, that's in Montana. I think he might go to
that's in Idaho, Great Falls, Idaho, right?
Oh, he might be going to Colorado at some point.
Isn't
I'm unclear. I have to refer to the
list.
I'm
just guessing.
I don't know where it is.
I think so now, but I think it's...
Yeah, there's a lot of things he can do in Colorado depending on what he wants to do.
Oh, Colorado, that's where the Mork and Mindy house is.
You know, you can go to Boulder, you can go to the Coors Brewery, you can go to...
Denver, Mile High,
name
Denver.
Name it,
Columbine.
You go to Denver, see the... you go to the Cave of the Winds, you go to...
Well, I think he may hit this on the way back, sir. So, as you guys
are way out of stress.
As we start doing this, I'm not going to take any crap from you about geography. All right, thank you, Frank.
No problem.
There you go. I'm not going to take any crap from you.
I mean, you're doing the ultimate zigzag loop-de-loop. It's all like this. I mean, it's not... It's S's is what you're doing right now.
Well, we're going to have to find somebody who can actually take all
exactly.
the crap that we're doing and
put
it in order. Who are you to make assessments?
Well, I kind of know a little bit about it, a little something.
You don't even know what states surround Wyoming.
Okay. Anyways. All right, Scotty.
Yes.
This is the phone number for the people of the world's largest Cheeto.
Okay.
Please go call them.
All right. We'll see if we can talk to them.
So
don't take no for an answer.
Yeah, seriously. Don't bungle this like you bungled the Alice Cooper thing.
That's not nice.
I know.
He cried his heart.
I know. Well, he was getting all uppity there with his trying to give me a bunch of geographic taunting. Here's Tim Riley.
We haven't talked about that Cheeto publicly in 40 years.
Let's do a geek watch.
Ooh.
No.
This high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn shit. You got it?
Energize.
Activision reveals additional finger-melting tracks to be included on Guitar Hero Encore, Rocks the 80s. Songs made famous by artists such as Skid Row, Poison, and Any Money are added to enhance the axe-shredding experience. Yes, Activision Incorporated today announced additional songs to be included in the latest installment of the critically acclaimed Guitar Hero franchise, Guitar Hero Encore Rocks the 80s. Available this summer exclusively for PlayStation 2 computer entertainment systems.
Now, I haven't seen the song list for this. Somebody told me it's all 80s stuff, but I don't know what's on it. I know that the other one is already, and that's why I can't own it, because it's just the most addictive thing on earth. And they're already going to screw me into buying an Xbox 360 later this year when Halo 3 comes out, so I'm trying to put it off until then.
Well, Guitar Hero fans will further experience the ultimate rock star fantasy. Additional tracks include 18 in Life, as made famous by Skid Row. Bathroom Mall, made famous by Faster Pussycat. Lonely as the Night, made famous by Billy Squire.
Oh, that's a terrible song.
Nothing But a Good Time, made famous by Poisson.
Excellent.
Play With Me, also made famous by Extreme. Shaken, made famous by Eddie Money.
That's an awful song, too.
Synchronicity Number 2, made famous by The Police.
All right, yeah, this is less impressive than that. I'm all for the Poison and so forth. That's like, you know, you talk about Squire and Eddie Money. Those guys could never be famous now. That was only because it was like written in the very, very embryonic stages of MTV when they just had to put anything on the air. Doesn't matter. You could just send in like a video of your high school graduation and they put it on. Doesn't matter. All right. Let's see. Well, we should break.
Yeah,
so I don't want to get behind again. So, is this, Scotty, is this true? Guess what we've got around the corner? World's largest Cheeto talk.
Scotty found somebody to talk about the world's largest shit. God bless you, Scotty. Oh, really? Well, can we call him back in like 5 minutes? Just ask him if we can get up. Yeah, maybe. I know he's busy and all in Iowa. Ask him, we can talk to him in like 5 minutes. I really want to know about this world's largest Cheeto.
Well, the line is stretching around the block to get in.
All right. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. I had 150 of sausages. Hi, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-3970. See, we were talking about this, because Sarah and I are teenage girls. I'm saying, I don't look at trans fats, carbs, grams of anything. If I'm eating a food, like if I'm trying to eat well, all I look at is the calorie count. Because I don't, like people are like, you avoid trans fats. I don't even really know what trans fats are. And the thing is, I'm not going to pretend to be smarter than I am. I don't understand the difference between fats, trans, don't call because I don't care. Trans fats, fats, carbs, saturated fats. Are saturated fats the same thing as trans fats? No one knows. I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend to know.
Can I tell you, though, this fabulous Lean Cuisine pizza thing I'm eating is the greatest tasting thing ever. It's garlic and chickeny, and it's like 300 calories.
Let me just tell you this. Scotty, who dropped off the Dorito X13 bags?
Well, you forgot their name. He gave me his name, and I want to say Steve or something.
You don't know.
He calls back in, thank you very much, but I will say he had a huge truck. He's a truck driver.
Of course.
And he went out of his way.
Really?
Off of the band.
And you forgot his name.
I talked to probably a million people.
You talked to a million people a day who drop off Doritos?
Yeah. Well, no, I just talked to about a million people a day here at the Rick Emerson Show. And as you can tell, a majority of them are turned away. Because, see, you never get to a million, right?
Because, because you're busy screening. Yes. Your screening is so hardcore.
I wanted to point that out.
So, whoever you are, Scotty forgot your name because he doesn't really care about you.
I'm going to throw a guess out there, Steve.
You don't know.
I don't know.
Whoever you are, thank you for dropping off these two bags of Doritos X13D. All right, have you had one, Sarah?
No.
Okay, me either. Okay, hold on. Opening it?
Well, I don't want to open it.
Hold on.
Hey.
What?
I want to be a part of this.
You don't even remember the guy's name. Hold on here.
I gave him directions, though. I deserve a Dorito.
Okay, it smells like a hamburger with pickles on it.
Okay, I'm going to come over and smell.
Are you going to open yours?
No, because it's going to be a waste, because I'm just going to have one.
Like I won't eat the rest? Come on, who are we fooling? I didn't even bicycle today. All right.
You guys are going to eat Doritos in front of me.
Oh, that's weird smelling. It smells like mustard.
It does stink.
It's an assembled hamburger. It's a hamburger with toppings. It's a hamburger with mustard and pickles on
all right.
It. That's what it is. It is a pickle and it is a hamburger with mustard and pickles. That's the flavor.
Okay, that's weird.
These are really good, Scotty.
It tastes exactly like a hamburger.
It does. Well, it's freaky.
I hate pickles. So
have one.
Let's see.
Yes, have some.
All right, okay, just one more.
Oh, yeah.
These are pretty tasty.
Weird.
I mean, the guy that said McDonald's hamburger, I taste pickle, mustard, the hamburger.
It's kind of freaky to eat something that tastes like something
it
shouldn't.
I hate pickles. I hate pickles.
Those to me. I'll put those over here.
All right, you eat them, Piggy.
I can't stand pickles.
You know what? Here's the thing. On the days I don't bicycle, I don't even feel the need to be healthy in any other way. In fact, I'm just going to go eat a big bag of sugar when I'm done here. All right, we'll do the top five in a second. We're going to blow through these calls, then we'll do the top five. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you?
Hi, is this Rick?
Yes, it is, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm calling to find out if Nate is still in Yellowstone Park.
He's not there yet. We're actually planning out the trip before he takes it.
Oh, he hasn't left. Okay. No. If he does go to the park, for him to miss the Grand Tetons would be a travesty.
Mm.
The fee that will get him into Yellowstone is also good for the Grand Teton National Park.
We have the Grand Tetons written down. The Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons are both on the agenda.
Okay. One other thing I wanted to bring up is you mentioned something earlier about the ladies in Chinatown down in San Francisco
mm-hmm.
that hawk the dim sum.
Yeah.
I just returned last evening. I was there most of this week and spent a great deal of time in Chinatown. And those older Asian women that do that are becoming quite aggressive these days.
Oh no, but you gotta compete for that tourist dollar. They do everything. Seriously, they do everything but set a bear trap and drag you up there.
Yes, they do, and it was rather intriguing and interesting.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Two more calls, and we'll do the top five. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, before I get to my point, I will say that I had tater tots for lunch that I think were fried in motor oil, and they're fantastic.
They were fantastic.
They were.
I love tater tots.
Nate is going to La Crosse, correct?
La Crosse, Wisconsin? Yes, that is his the one and only fixed destination, sir.
Okay, in La Crosse, they have what is touted as the world's biggest six-pack. It is a it's water towers in the form of a six-pack of beer from G. Heilemann Brewing.
In Wisconsin, right, that totally makes sense.
Right down the street from a big statue of King Gambrinus, so he can get his picture taken with both.
All right, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I will make a note of this. Biggest six-pack.
Thank you.
Excellent, thank you. Final call before we get to the top five. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, this is Rick. I can't believe that you haven't told Nate about the place that's 22 miles east of Missoula, Montana on I-90.
How dare I?
Clinton, Montana, home of the Testicle Festival.
That's right. Oh, yeah. All right, so hold on. So if he was... All right, we were... Scotty's in here not screening, so that's okay. We'll allow this call. But, all right. So, tell me where it would fit in here. We got Maryhill,
mm-hmm.
which is in Oregon, Boise,
mm-hmm.
Great Falls, Montana,
mm-hmm.
Silvergate, Montana, then Cody, Wyoming. So where in this order of cities would it go?
It'll be the first Montana stop.
So before Great Falls, after mm-hmm. Boise, before Great Falls. Testicle Festival, what is the name of the place?
It's the Red Creek Lodge in, get this, Clinton, Montana.
Clinton Testicles. Ha, ha, ha. All right, there you go. All right, Testicle Festival, Clinton, Montana. Written down, sir. God bless. What was your name?
Rick.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. Final, there you go. We're done. All right, let's roll today's top five, assembled by Scotty J.
4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting is the best thing to do.
Sarah has a good point. These are totally Demolition Man food.
It's totally future food. It's like an entire meal in chip form.
In the future, all restaurants are Taco Bell. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's today's top five, courtesy of Scotty J.
Yes, these are the top five songs that make you tune the channel, or change the channel, rather. Crash your car, spit up your beverage, pound your friend who's sitting next to you in the face. I don't know. Earth would be better if these songs were eradicated.
Don't look at
what
the paper.
What is eradicated?
Yeah, don't look at the paper and spell eradicated.
Well, I think I spelled it wrong in the paper, so.
Please keep spelling eradicated.
E-R-A-D-I-C-A-T-I-O-N.
That's eradication.
Oh, wait, I forgot, yeah.
Okay, there and,
go.
And we're going to
move. Good enough.
There you go. The fact that you think that's good enough.
All right. You know, I passed high school with D's and C's, and it's obviously it's good
did
enough.
Did you ever take your SATs?
Show. Yeah, I have no clue what my score was on the SATs.
Everybody knows who took the SAT knows their score. Sarah knows her score.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even remember my band name a couple hours ago.
That's a fair point.
Brain cells
did you ever remember
here?
The name of your
I
band?
Did.
What is the name? What was the name of your
the
band?
The name of the band is Vital Signs.
After the Survivor album with the same name?
No, it was from Rush, one of their albums songs back in the 80s, because our band was in like 87.
Vital Signs, featuring Scotty J and lead vocals. You're going to bring that music tomorrow.
Going to find it, yeah.
Scotty?
Going to find it.
Don't let us down.
I'll do
that. All right, let's do your top five. These are Scotty J's top five tune-out songs.
Okay, the number six honorable mention song goes to Bowling for Soup. Absolutely hate this song. The girl that the bad guys want.
Where do you even hear this song that you would have
that's
to tune
a,
it out?
That's a good point. My brother actually made the same point.
These are all clean, right?
I know about a lot of these songs because I have to keep up on everything that's out there for weddings and whatnot. So I know that I've thumbed through stations before and you stop and then you keep moving and you stop, move, stop, move, stop. But the minute this song like this comes on, it just To me, this classifies down there with, like, My Chemical Romance. I just think it sounds to me, as a 40-year-old, like teeny bopper rock and roll. I just, it's just, like, it sounds like Scooby-Doo music. I mean, here on Scooby-Doo.
What does that mean, exactly?
It just means, this is like, I don't know, now I can see how the older generation might have hated the Beach Boys in their time because they were so out there. That's what this kind of stuff sounds like to me. It just sounds like
is it because
a bunch of teenagers singing.
Is it because it's melodic?
Scooby-Doo's running around in the background.
Now, is it because it's catchy?
It's not catchy. It's just kind
of... Well, that's not true. You can say a lot of things about our power pop groups. You can't accuse these guys of not being catchy.
Okay, it's catchy, but it just sounds like... Can't you see
let's
this in
for
a Scooby-Doo
a
movie?
Let's listen for a second.
Creaming over top guys, listening to rap metal, turntables and a ride like some whip.
I mean, what's it mean? I mean, it means nothing. Anyways, I'm going to have a hard time getting through this top five because I hate these songs so much that I...
It seems like you have a disproportion. Who hates Bowling for Soup?
This is
who
horrible.
Really even spends, like, energy hating that band? All right, well, whatever.
Not me because I turned the channel.
Okay. These
number
are Scotty J's top five tune-out songs.
Yeah,
right.
Number five song, if I happen to be cruising through the dial and run across this one...
Oh, this is a bad one.
I hate this song.
I despise this.
And every event I do as a DJ, you've got to play this for us girls and call. And I want you
and
to dedicate it to
girl.
Marjorie
always.
And Sally and Cindy and call them all up here and say this is from,
it's
know.
Always, it's a fat girl who thinks she's hot with her equally fat friends. They always want to hear that.
Dig it out there and bump and grind on the dance floor.
No, seriously, it's always some cow of a woman and her awful, horrible friends. And they all want to gyrate like they're sex machines on the floor to this. Always.
Something else I've observed is hand in a clenched in a fist, arms up like this, like empowering women. It's just like, you know.
And I only say this because I used to be a DJ at dances and I would have to play this. And it's always requested by a group of hideously unattractive women celebrating the fact that they are no longer with a guy who probably doesn't even remember their names at this point.
In 2007,
always,
it has not changed.
No, you're right. I mean, this is... And I know there are songs that attract... There are songs around... Speaking of Rush, there are songs and records and bands around which ugly men congregate. This is a song, though, around which ugly women congregate. There is no hot woman has ever sung this song anywhere. Ever.
Now, I like
it is
Rush.
Always a woman in a muumuu.
I like Rush, so what are you saying exactly?
I say this at the risk of alienating a huge section of the listening base right now, but let's be honest.
I'm going to their concert this summer.
Let's be honest. Most of the guys... You've been to a Rush concert
this
before?
This will be five.
Okay, then you know, and so have I.
Look at my age.
Look, let me say this. I say this because I saw Rush play 2112 all the way through a couple years ago.
Wow.
Ugly crowd. Guys who listen to Rush are ugly. There's no getting around that fact. Guys who listen to Rush are ugly and have probably been to a Ren Fair within the last 5 years.
Scotty J's a good looking fella.
What about guys that listen to Tool and Metallica? What do they look like at concerts?
I don't know.
Okay.
We're getting into a whole alley that just we'll never get out of. But
all right, let's move on because I hate this song with a passion. We're moving on to the number four song, Shakira. Kids Don't Lie. This is the worst song. It's not even a song. It's not real. It's just horrible.
This is a pretty bad song.
Listen to what they're saying, and who cares?
You don't strike me as a lyric guy, Scotty.
You don't strike me as a guy who's about words and sentences.
Well, sometimes I think they're saying stuff that they're not really saying. I hear these words in my head.
Sexy messages.
Not in this particular song.
I gotta put these chips away.
You finished almost the whole bag.
And it's funny because this song hit the charts and went up high. And I just, how could this be?
I really dislike
it. I could write a song. I could write a song and I could put music together.
Don't say that because if you say
that. That's out there today. It's just pathetic.
Here's the thing. You can't say stuff like that because if you say that again, we're gonna make you do it.
I'm just saying.
Really,
when this stuff was just so bad, it's like, how can you make money on this? And I don't mean to cut on hip-hop and rap, but some of the stuff is like you can write while you're sitting in the bathroom.
I'm telling you, if you keep issuing proclamations that anybody could do it, I'm going to make you do it.
All right.
I,
I'm only saying. I mean,
Rima and Rice, though. That's some of this stuff that you hear.
I'm saying, well, there's bad music in every, every genre. There's no more bad music now than ever.
Baker Street was a pretty good song.
I'm just saying, there's no more bad music in 2007 than there was 30 years ago. There's bad music in every generation.
Okay.
You know that's true.
I will agree with that, but this is just horrible, so we're moving on. Number three song goes to Ace of Base.
This is an awful song.
Is this I Saw the Sign?
No, this is All That She Wants.
It's even worse. Yeah. What guy out there on the planet?
It's that little hook, that musical hook that made the song a hit, but that is also the thing that I hate about it.
And you like it, some Ace of Base songs, and all Ace of Base songs sound the same to me, and I hate
them. They do kind of sound the same.
I love Beautiful Life. That's a great song.
That's an okay song, yes. However, on this one, what guy's going to be out there thinking, all that she wants is another baby. I can't wait to do this. Oh, this is great. No guy actually wants to sit and say, well, let me restate this. I know that I personally don't sit out there and listen to this song and think, I can't wait to go have another baby, because that's the last thing from my mind.
I think you're showing too much, Scott.
I'm sure your children are happy to hear that.
But this girl is happy. I can see her skipping through a daisy field. All that she wants is another baby.
Now, hold on. Just calm down.
Sorry.
In this song, do we know that she's talking about another child? Is she not? Are they? In other words, they're foreigners, so you can't really tell. Is she talking about another guy?
Correct. She could be. And I thought about this.
I don't really know the answer to that.
But I'm going
to
assume she's talking about, you know, pumping out kids or something. I don't know.
The grace in which you say things.
Seriously. All right. It's hard to believe somebody hasn't asked you to co-host a show before this Saturday. All right. These are Scotty J's Top 5 Tune-Out songs.
Along. Number two song goes to this, which I absolutely detest with every muscle in my body.
Now, is this Uncle Cracker?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, now, but I just want to stick my finger down my throat.
I think Uncle Cracker.
Well, let's establish a couple things here. First of all, it's not that I like Uncle Cracker so much as I did like that Follow Me song a lot. The only problem is that everything he did after that became a Xerox of Follow Me. Follow Me, not a bad song. Follow Me is a great little pop song.
I like
song.
That better than this.
It's a great little pop song for what it is. But then the problem is everything, he hit on that formula, and that everything he did sounded like Follow Me. Let me ask you, is it that you hate this version of the song, or that you hate the song? Well, if you say you hate this song, I'm going to take you out back and have you
killed. The original version of the song was acceptable, and I liked it. It wasn't my favorite song on the planet Earth, I'll tell you that.
Rick, we've had this discussion. People can have their opinions.
Okay, yeah,
but my opinion is stupid.
I didn't hate Drift Away.
Drift Away by Dobie Gray. That is a classic. Dobie Gray's Drift Away is
Led Zeppelin songs I hate, and they're classics too, but you know, what am I going
to
say?
Oh, now you're just trying to provoke me. All right, fine, I'll let you go. Go ahead.
Anyways, it's this particular version by this Uncle Cracker guy, and how everybody thinks this, you know, the younger generation, they think this is a new song. They don't realize that it was back from.
You know, a lot of your comments here have to do with the kids and how you hate children and how you hate the younger generation.
Well, they're the ones that, you know, text vote for that chick that won on American Idol, and they're the ones that like Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive. I can't stand it.
You get a lot of weird anger issues.
Especially since you have children.
Totally.
Like, we're allowed to be angry.
I need a vacation. All right.
Okay.
Let's,
Scotty's crashing.
Okay, now.
These are Scotty J's Top 5 Tune-Out songs.
Now, this next song needs a little introduction first before you pop it on there. This particular song, when I hear it quite often. Every time I hear it, it just... makes me want to run, hide. I hate this song. Okay.
That's amazing.
I do need a vacation.
That's hilarious.
Actually, no, I don't have the song. Sarah does. Sarah? This song is Bette Midler, The Rose. Now, I like Bette Midler, and I kind of like Wind Beneath My Wings, but last night was horrible. But
Wind Beneath My Wings is one of my favorite songs.
It was okay last night. I think she was a little hammered on alcohol or drugs or something, but...
Bette Midler?
Yeah, she's a wild party girl these days. And that is Estelle Getty.
No, my wife sang this song. She sang the Wind Beneath My Wings song in Cabo San Lucas at the What's Up Karaoke Bar. My wife never sings, so she got up there and sang that. So that's kind of her song, Wind Beneath My Wing. Well, when Bette Midler actually did the real thing last night, She was like, that was horrible. And I'm like, you're right, honey. You're better at that.
Life in your house must be so sad.
Back to this Rose song. This one makes me sick.
Do you ever sing karaoke in your living room?
Maybe once.
You and the wife do duet.
Because we had parties there, several parties where we had the karaoke, the whole DJ thing. And so if it's up for a couple days, then we'll do it.
Do you and Mrs. J ever sing karaoke together? You duet?
We tried one time.
What did you duet on?
And I am not a duet guy.
What'd you duet on?
I think it was some Peaches and Herb song or something, Reunited or something. I don't know.
Yeah, one of their many other hits. One of their depth tracks.
How can you really hate the Rose, though?
Especially because it's from a great movie.
Take a listen.
It's from the Wonder. It's from the movie of the same name.
You're driving in your car, right? These are tune-out songs. I'm a man driving down the road. I'm by myself.
He's a man driving down the road.
I'm on my way to my destination in my vehicle.
No looking back.
And this is on. Yeah, I'm tuning this out. I don't know what guy out there is going to sit there and sing this to himself. Sing, you know, put the visor down with a mirror in it and look in the mirror and be singing the Rose to yourself as you drive down the road.
Is that what you do in your car?
Maybe.
Who do you think does that?
You do.
Who would not be watching the road and singing to their visor?
Why, Rick Emerson.
All right, let's take a few. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, it's been bugging me. Mary Hill is in Washington, not Oregon.
Oh, really? Okay, so fair enough.
I grew up in that area, so I know.
What do you think about The Rose by Bette Midler?
I like Bette Midler, but I know that particular song.
So. All right, excellent. All right, okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, bye.
All right, there you go. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello?
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 And we're done. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. The name of the guy that dropped off those chips is Robert, and that would be me.
Robert, thank you.
Yeah,
I knew
Robert's
I was
a lot like Steve.
Robert, how many letters off am I?
And I'm glad that Scotty J's in the office not to screen this call so I can call him out. He never asked my name.
Oh, there you go.
Never asked his name. Hold on.
Everybody's a Steve out there.
You never asked his name, and yet you somehow arrived at Steve.
Well, you know what the funny thing is it's a little... A little spooky because my father's name is Steve.
Oh.
Well, tell you what. See, I had a premonition.
I'm getting an S. Do you know somebody with an S? All right. Thank you. Thank you. Where did you get these Dorito mystery flavor chips?
I was doing a delivery to an AM/PM in Vancouver, and I actually was on my way when I heard you talking about them, and I bought the last two bags that were in the store, and it was started the Frito-Lay guy that was there, and I brought up a discussion with him. And you were right, they are a cheeseburger flavor.
Yeah, kind of a cheeseburger pickle flavor.
Yes, and believe it or not, he says they are actually modeled after a specific chain.
Interesting. All right.
Yes.
Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it. Thank you for listening, my friend.
Hey, you bet. I spread the word every day.
God bless you. Thank you. There you go. Robert out there in the road. Thank you so much, Robert. All right.
A lot of people call in and they say they're going to drop something off, and they drop it off with the gatekeeper, Dave's in, and then he'll say, hey, Robert, just drop something off, Scotty. Where do you want it? So that's why sometimes I don't ask for the name, because I'll get it sooner or later, and it just
And because you'll just make
time.
Up a name anyway.
Hey, R and S, I'm close. I mean, that was super close.
Scotty J, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Scotty J will be co-hosting Miles Around on Saturday with Dennis Pitchman.
Oh.
All right, we'll take a break here. Come back. Tim Riley around the corner for the Ministry of Truth. Like us at 3. Donna Mike at 7. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Don't. Thanks so much. Don't go anywhere. We return after this.
you so much.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
McCartney is lashing back against rumors that he stood up the American Idol finale last night, which was attended by his ex-wife Heather Mills, after reports claim he backed out at the last minute. Meanwhile, no time like the present to crank up your barbecue grill, if your grill has a crank on it. That, according to master griller Steve Reichlin, who recommends using Memorial Day weekend to take your grilling to the next level.
For most Americans, grilling is pretty much limited to animal protein, especially hamburgers, hot dogs, and steaks, and, you know, I would urge people to try seafood, try grilling bread, vegetables, even dessert on the grill.
That sounds exciting. Grill some bread today. Grill some salad.
Everyone likes plain bread. Master Griller Steve shares when to use a rub versus when to use a marinade on your meat.
Use a rub, a dry mixture with fatty foods like ribs and pork shoulders. Use a marinade with lean foods, like pork chops, chicken breasts, and fish flakes.
So tell me
that tend to dry out on the grill.
Tell me if I got to get about the rub on my meat.
All right, here's one to use a rub versus a marinade on your meat.
Use a rub, a dry mixture with fatty foods like ribs and pork shoulders. Use a marinade with lean foods, like pork chops, chicken breasts, and fish flakes, foods that tend to dry out on the grill.
There's a long holiday weekend. Here's some advice on when you know whether or not your meat is cooked correctly.
I am partial to the poke test, and what the poke test is you poke the top of the meat. If it feels soft and squishy, it's rare. If it feels gently yielding, it's medium rare. If it feels somewhat firm, it's medium. And if it feels hard and springy, it's well done.
Do I know how to reach this demographic?
Well done, Tim Riley. Fantastic. There's some joke there about...
There's plenty of jokes there.
It is very rare that it's soft and squishy.
Use a rub, a dry mixture with fatty foods like ribs and pork shoulders. Use a marinade with lean food. I am partial to the poke test. And what the poke test is you poke the top of the meat. If it feels soft and squishy, it's rare. If it feels gently yielding, it's medium rare. If it feels somewhat firm, it's medium. And if it feels hard and springy, it's well done.
Wait, hold on. 18 to 34. All right, fantastic. Well done. God bless you, Tim. Thank God for you, Tim Riley. You are the wind beneath all of our wings.
Now, remember, only you can prevent children from drowning in swimming pools.
It's really a misconception about drowning, that there will be a lot of splashing, screaming, and cries for help. Drowning actually happens quickly and quietly.
The public service of CBS Radio.
The Columbia Broadcasting Systems. All right, fantastic.
See you tomorrow.
And he's out. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in the world. Be back at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 7 o'clock, top of the hour, all the way through Tom Lakers. All right. Scotty, are you getting the Cheeto guy on the phone? I'm looking here to see if Scotty is getting the guy from the house of the world's largest Cheeto. In the meantime, I'm going to read this amusing email. Rick, this Wind Beneath My Wings song is flashing me back to being a freshman in high school. Here we go. Our choir teacher thought it would be hip to sing some of the current songs the kids were listening to. For one concert, we sang both Wind Beneath My Wings and We Didn't Start the Fire. Mind you, there were no soloists, so just imagine an entire choir of gawky teenagers trying to plow through the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire. Mm-hmm. On the soprano section, doing that thing at the end of Wind Beneath My Wings, where it goes fly, 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 fly away across the sky. It was truly terrible. Worst thing ever.
What was the Bette Midler one? I can't remember the song where it's like we all look the same. I can't remember. It came out around that same time.
Oh, what was the follow-up to Wind Beneath My Wings? Anyone? News department?
Oh, From a Distance.
From a Distance.
That's what we had sing when I was in fifth grade.
All right. I had nothing.
I like that song.
Uh-huh. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Iowa. Hello, Scott.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott, how you doing? Thank you for coming on the show. We have a listener of ours who's going to be traveling across the country, and so we are helping him plot his voyage. But somebody has said that your establishment, your business, is the home to the world's largest Cheeto.
That's correct.
What is the name of your establishment, sir?
Sister Sarah's Restaurant and Bar.
And this is in what city in Iowa, my friend?
Algona.
And so when you say it's the world's largest Cheeto, how big is this Cheeto?
Oh, about the size of a golf ball, maybe a little smaller.
And so now is this... Is this a Cheeto that came
came out of a bag, or was it assembled specially for you?
Somebody found it in a bag.
And is it, so when you say it's about the size of a golf ball, is this in terms of length, or is it, I mean, is it a regular...
Is it as wide as a golf ball?
Yeah,
it's kind of an oval shape, actually.
All right, so it's, okay, so it's like an oval shape about the size of a golf ball. Have you contacted the Frito-Lay people about this?
Yeah, they know about it. They actually, we had a fundraiser for the food pantry here.
Yeah.
And they donated $1,000 toward it.
Excellent. Is the Cheeto protected somewhere so that it can't be eaten by pests or humans?
It's in a glass case, yeah.
All right, excellent. Now, can anybody just walk in and see the Cheeto, or do they have to pay?
No, they can just walk in.
What? Where are you from the nearest large city or landmark in Iowa, sir?
Oh, let's see. Probably Mason City is the largest town close by.
And that's about how far, how many miles from where you are?
Oh, about 50, 60 miles.
Has anybody ever tried to steal the world's largest Cheeto?
No, not that I know of.
All right. are you afraid that it's going to get moldy at some point? How long have you had it there?
It's been here for about 3 years now.
No mold?
Nope.
Have you ever been tempted to take a little nibble?
Somebody's licked it before.
Well, that's unnerving. All right. What, for anybody who might be heading that way, what is on the menu that you recommend, sir?
Oh, we have excellent steak, seafood, prime rib, whatever you want.
All right, excellent. All right, Scott and Sister Sarah's right there in Iowa. All right, thank you so much, sir. Thank you for coming on the program.
You bet.
All right, Scotty, if you want to just thank him for coming on, Scotty, that would be that'd be fantastic. If you want to just
Scotty,
pick that phone line up, just pick up the warm line and just thank. Okay. Boy, howdy.
Oh, my God, I almost lost my crap when he said it was the size of a golf ball.
Really, when you think of world's largest Cheeto, I think you think something more substantial.
I've had Cheetos bigger than that.
Yeah, that's not very impressive.
That's not a very big Cheeto. Like, that big?
I've really had Cheetos that were much larger than that. That was like, that was full-on, like, Steven Seagal quality interviewing, is what that was.
You really did work a lot with the Cheeto topic.
I felt so bad. The guy, I mean, okay. Real quickly, we're going to plow through these, and we're going to break. Do we have to break?
Yeah, we have to break.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Quickly, what's up?
I had a website for Nate going across country.
Okay.
It's www.roadsideamerica.com.
That's a great site, and they do a little television show, too. They have all kinds of wacky crap that you can see in this great big country of ours.
Yeah, world's largest tube socks.
Really? Is that true? They're not the size of a golf ball, are they?
No, they're like 2-3 stories tall, I think.
See, that's what I was expecting.
Seriously, now let me ask you this, friend. When you were hearing us talk to that guy with the world's largest Cheeto, didn't you expect it to be bigger than a golf ball?
I was very disappointed.
He didn't clarify if it was a crunchy or puffed Cheeto either. That is true. All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. Back. If you're on hold, Marty, Chuck, we may or may not be able to get to you. Hang on tight. We'll try to do a couple things on the other side. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. Into the saddest part of the broadcasting day. Somebody sent me a picture of the Cheeto. It really isn't impressive.
It's not impressive at all. It looks gross.
This email says, Rick, I am disappointed. I thought it was going to be the size of his garage or something. All right. 503-733-2970. Real quickly, let's get to these. Hi, Marty. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up, Marty?
Hi, Rick.
What do you got, brother?
Well, I got finished mowing my lawn. And, hi, Sarah. Hi,
Hello.
Tim.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, anyway, apparently you and me were the last people not to see the great Big Lebowski.
Yeah, you know, our good friend Jeff McGinley lent me the Big Lebowski, and now he no longer works here, so God knows when I'll ever get to give that back to him. I still haven't watched it yet, though, so yeah.
Well, I checked it out from the library because I'm a cheap ass.
Good for you, sir. And
it was really good.
You enjoyed it.
It was really good. John Goodman is outstanding, and... there's a lady in there. One of the ladies in the movie looks a lot like Sarah.
Who is the actress, sir?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna
read. I didn't read the credits, but she looks a lot like Sarah. It's kind of interesting. But you have to watch it now because I didn't. You're the last one.
And then once I've seen it, then we can all just seal it in a vault somewhere. Okay. I'm gonna try to get it watched this week, sir.
You have to, and because it has bowling, and it has the lady that looks like Sarah.
Are you doing a little drinking today?
Well, yeah, I'm on my lawn. Okay. You have to.
Actually, well,
how can you not?
Well, of course. No, I mean, I'm sorry. It does go without saying. What is your drink of choice today?
My, well, of course, Milwaukee's best ice.
God bless you.
Oh.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Ice.
Enjoy the rest of your day, my friend.
I will. Good night.
There you go. Thank you, and good night.
That's not an afternoon beer. That's after the bars have closed, and it's the last resort kind of beer.
All right. Final call. Shannon, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Hey, have you guys explained how we can get some of those tickets for the Body World?
No, and you know, now that you mention this, I realize too late that I forgot to do the Glorious Bastard of the Week today.
Yeah, I think that was another question of mine, because I really want those tickets.
I was supposed to draw for the Glorious Bastard of the Week, and you know what? I failed to do it. That is me. That's my fault. It is on me, Rick Emerson. Here's the thing. You want to go to 970.am. 970.am, sign up to be an AM 970 Glorious Bastard right now so you can keep it. And, you know, you can stay in the loop, you can find all the stuff going on with the station. And then also, we are going to be giving away tickets to see OMSI Body World 3. We are going to be giving away tickets for that. We are going to be giving away a chance to go. And it's tickets, it's tickets plus something else that's kind of cool. So I can't tell you anything more about it yet, but go to AM 9, to 970.am and sign up for to be Glorious Bastard if you have not already, my friend.
Oh, well, I have a long time ago. But,
excellent.
And by the way, for that road trip for Nate,
yeah.
I can't remember specifically where they are, but in North Dakota, they have the world's largest cow, and I believe the world's largest buffalo. And in South Dakota, they have the Corn Palace, which is a big building made out of corn.
Gilbert Nuffy. All right. Shannon, I apologize. We got to run. I thank you for calling, though.
I understand. Thank you.
All right. Bye now. Insert clever ending to the program here. Retarded.